This is PFW in Progress.
The pressures, and I'm not judging them, I'm not labeling them, but they are destroying your potential. There are no more shenanigans, no more tomfoolery, no more ballyhoo.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the presence of greatness.
Paul Perillo.
Double burger.
Just had a double burger.
You shut up. I know what you ordered. I was there.
So give me that sandwich.
Give me your sandwich. I bought it.
Can I have my food now, please?
Here's your double burger.
Mikey, Ricky, Danny, Terry, Mikey, Davey, Timmy, Tommy, Joey, Robbie, Johnny.
And Andy. And Andy?
Former winners include Nobel laureates, Fields Medal winners, renowned astrophysicists, and lowly.
Andy Hart.
Well, that's all. If you have any questions, I'm sure that Tom has the answers.
Some guy named Tom.
Look, you're my best friend, so don't take this the wrong way. 20 years, if you're still living here, coming over to my house to watch the Patriots game, I'll kill you.
PFW in Progress.
Sky rockets in flight, afternoon delight. Hey, afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress, the only place in the world where you can get Patriots talk this time of year. Truly the only top place in the world. Good Patriots talk. Well, you're making
about
a face,
a half
Andy.
True. Well, I don't know if you've noticed, but Tom Casale and Andy Hart are now the foundation of ESPN Radio Boston. So,
is that right? Tell me what's
going
on.
In light of the unfortunate Ron Borges incident.
Yeah, since Ron Borges has been suspended and John Tomasi's been in Florida covering the Red Sox.
And they haven't caught me plagiarizing yet.
4 out of the last 6 shows have been one of the two of us. It's all
right?
Football.
And that's in the afternoons,
big
from
4
to 7?
Yeah, ratings are going through the roof, I
through
hear.
The
big
roof.
Stuff going on at ESPN
do
Radio.
Do the whole show or just a segment?
We do most of it.
I'm really? 5-7.
I mean, don't get us wrong. We got that Felger bringing us down. But other than that, it's pretty good.
Give me a break. Well,
that's pretty good. I wish I could get it in my neck of the woods.
Hey, get on the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can
stop listening to that other station like Gary. Gary goes to me, yeah, when WEI was on break, I turned to Felger and listened to you. That's
should
why
be the other way around.
That's
the
right.
Minor line. And Paul, you want to stick up for me here, EEI boy?
Well, Paul wasn't on.
I'm just recognizing the irony here that if I had ever opened a show with that diatribe right there, how many of those car horns would be going off in the background?
Well,
right.
Fred was telling a mistruth.
All right.
ESPN Radio well, Boston.
We're
you
all
get some
here.
Football
Andy,
talk.
Tom,
but this is
Paul,
the best football
myself,
talk.
Myself, Gary, and the
speaking
booth.
Of which, Fred, I'll be here for an hour because I have a commitment today.
What, are you going to the big show?
Yeah.
Why don't you do that on Tuesday?
Usually I work it out to do it on home. Tuesdays, but I had a thing, and I couldn't do it this Tuesday because I had,
so now we'll be
I
going
had
head
TV
to head.
Last night.
Casale versus Perillo. We know
on?
We know what happened the last time that we went head-to-head for the pregame.
That's right. A ratings demolition.
Yeah. Definitely tip the scales by the 30 seconds that you guys were on the show.
Yeah, but you weren't on ESPN. You weren't BCN.
I've
yeah.
seen the, whatever they call them, where they break it down into minutes, and that segment, that PFW segment, that's
takes
the peak.
A spike.
The 15s.
Is that what it is?
I don't know what they call them, but I think they do bring it down to 15 minutes. Isn't that how they do the ratings, 15 minutes at a time?
Yeah, you got to sweep the quarter out. Got to sweep the quarter out.
Got to sweep the quarter. So I just sweep the leg.
So Paul's
sweep
on the
leg.
Big show at 2.
Yes.
And Tom is on the Felger show at 4.
Yeah.
PFW dominating.
So
the
we will
airwaves.
Go head-to-head again today. Yep. Well, I have to check out those ratings, my friend.
Dominating.
I don't think
the
you'll airwaves. Be. I don't think you'll be printing out any of those and putting them on your.
I'll lose the ratings, but I'm going to bust your balls like crazy on the air. I'm not going down without a fight.
The good part about that, though, is there'll be no one listening to hear it. So what are you?
That's
do?
True.
All right. Well, let's get to some Patriots talk. Email address
like, is what
true.
It is.
Webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com and. The free agent flurry continues. Patriots over the weekend picking up 2 more wide receivers. Dante Stallworth, that was long rumored. But out of nowhere came Kelly Washington. And who wants to fill us in on how these guys might fit in and really revamp? It really is a revamping of the wide receiver core.
Well, and Washington kind of came out of nowhere because, let's be honest, he's a no one. I mean, he's not.
Wow.
Well, he's got I'm a lot higher on Washington than
I think he's all right, but I don't think he's anything great. I just think that's a mid-level signing that they usually make, like
right.
Sammy Morris, like those guys.
Oh,
but,
I think he can be
better
than
but
Sammy
it can,
Morris.
So
early.
I'm not and saying, it can be a lot more based on what the contract is. If he comes in and produces, I think he's more than a mid-level guy. I think, I mean, if he comes in and they and has a good year and they pick up that option, it's a 5-year.
His junior year in college, he was phenomenal. So ever since then, he hasn't done nothing.
Well, he was pretty good the first couple of years. Then he had injuries and was buried. He couldn't win
40 catches in 2 years.
Yeah, and around here, that makes you the team's leading receiver. So I think he's – right now, I think behind Stallworth, he might be the most physically talented player on the roster.
I like Kelly Washington, but I'm just – we're going by what they've done, kind of like with the Welker thing, and it seems like they're going for
– well, they're doing
upside.
Their thing. Buy low, yeah. Sell high. I mean, they're trying to buy low with a big upside on all these guys. And if they hit on one of them, then they're good. If you have Caldwell and one of these guys that hit, you're doing pretty well.
Yeah, I look at a guy like Washington almost – and I'm not trying to put this kind of pressure on him, but like a Mike Vrabel in 2001 was a guy who most people thought had some talent, was kind of buried behind some good players in Pittsburgh, and didn't really have a chance to show that. Now, the difference is that Washington did have a chance early in his career to have a bigger role in Cincinnati, and then later, as Tom pointed out, when Chris Henry came in as the Bengals' third receiver, now he got really knocked down the ranks a little bit, and he hasn't really done much the last couple of years. But I think he's a guy that has some talent, and I think if he comes in here, the important thing to me is Washington and Stallworth are both going to be here March, April, May, June, all working with Tom Brady.
And they have athletic ability.
They did not have that opportunity last year. They hung Brady out to dry, and they told him that his four receivers, on July 15th, here's your four receivers, go do the best you can with them. And I don't think that was good enough. This year, they won't have that problem. Brady's going to have a rapport with these guys. And I think Stallworth and Washington are both going to be here in 2007, and they're both going to play key roles.
Trouble is, the three most talented receivers on the roster have injury problems.
Well, that's true.
Jackson, Stallworth, and Washington all have hamstring problems. Obviously, Jackson now has the knee problem.
And the Stallworth one is he has our chronic hamstring problems that go back to college. So that's something you have to look for. But my sources in Ohio, Fred, told me
you
that
you have sources in Ohio.
Oh, he does have a source in Cincinnati.
It was actually a good one, to be honest with you. A beat writer for the Bengals said that Kelly Washington, when he didn't beat out Chris Henry, he said he took it like a man, never complained. And then the next offseason, he worked his butt off to play special teams because he had never done it before, and he ended up being the gunner for the Bengals on special teams. So I thought that was interesting. That's not really something you've heard about.
He's a Patriots kind of player,
special team guy. You know,
Patriots.
Well, I don't think he's in the program. So I don't know if he's a Patriots type of player.
Just talking about on-field.
Just an FYI, Fred, if Kelly Washington invites you to go skydiving, decline.
Is that right? Why?
Dante Stallworth just told us that they went skydiving together, and Kelly Washington tried to hide his parachute when they were up in the air in the plane.
At 30,000 feet.
That's not good.
A little bit of a fib there, because those planes don't fly to 30,000 feet.
Well, I guess...
Unless he's jumping out of a commercial airliner.
I guess the fact that they did go skydiving together, though, tells us that any problems that they had coming out of the University of Tennessee...
Oh, that was in college.
This is in college.
Yeah. Oh, this
was
in college.
This was an he gave this as an example of how competitive they were.
Okay.
And he was, I hope, joking that they were competitive while
otherwise
skydiving.
Otherwise, that's attempted murder.
Right. Otherwise, he tried to kill him.
Right.
And then after not being successful in killing him, he talked him into going to the pros so he could be the number one guy.
Hey, Tom, has Washington had any injury problems with the neck as a pro? You know, he had that
I don't
neck,
think
that,
it was a pro.
I don't think so.
That
no.
fused.
Yeah.
He had like a vertebra.
Yes.
In college, yeah.
Right. I mean, that's basically why he was a third-round pick.
Right.
Is because of that neck problem that he came out of Tennessee with. But that hasn't been a problem at all?
No, I know when Stallworth said today that it didn't work out because of the injury when he went back. But I know a lot of people thought he was better than Stallworth.
Right.
And that was the reason I think he went back, because he thought, well,
he could
be a top 10 pick, but it didn't work out because of the injury.
Well, you guys just got off the phone with Stallworth.
We didn't hear a word he said.
We didn't hear a word he said.
That connection?
I have to apologize on this one, because it was very difficult to hear him, and I don't think any of us has really heard enough to...
You'd literally have to be piecing together single words.
Yeah.
Really?
It kept cutting out, and...
What's going on with these phone calls?
It was almost like a dropped call. Yeah. You know the dropped call commercials, yeah. Fred? That's what it was like. You'd get, well, the thing about me and Kelly.
And it just goes blank.
You know, that's all you heard. And you couldn't really tell what was going
Fred,
on.
Fred, why don't they bring these guys here? Isn't that what NFL teams do, or is that just a figment
of
mind?
Not this time of year. Not for this level. I mean, you do that for your first-round draft pick.
You don't do that for a Dalis Thomas?
What do you mean, not for this level?
Greatest signing in the history of the team?
You heard it, Patriot fans. Fred Kirsch thinks these signings are garbage.
Yep, that's what he just
said. That's not what I just said.
It is what you
said. Paul will let you know what I just said.
Well, I'm not claiming that they should.
Now you're aligned with Paul.
Right.
When did that happen?
This is kind of like when I use the head coach's words for my benefit, you know, every once in a while.
Should I bring up Wes Welker?
We're not having an in-stadium press conference for Kelly Washington.
No, and that's not what I'm suggesting, Fred. But in the past, what we've usually done is, and I can rattle off a million examples, Anthony Pleasant, Christian Fourier, Cam Cleland.
Fred McCrary.
All kinds of guys. When they've signed guys, at some point they get to Foxborough to start their offseason program or whatever, and we request the guys, and then they make them available.
After
and you
April,
get
they'll be available.
Well, I'm not talking about after April. I'm talking about next week when the offseason program starts.
Not mandatory. They have to be here after April.
Why?
For that first one, that first veteran mini camp.
Well, that's in June.
No. There's one right after the rookies come that mostly everybody's here for.
Okay. Right, but that
so they
yeah,
more.
They basically
that,
have
that
to
one,
be here next week.
Mostly everybody's right. here.
That one's in May.
The voluntary ones are not voluntary.
I know what you're saying.
These guys will all be here next week.
Right.
Washington and Stallworth will be here next week. I can guarantee you.
Or their one-year deals could become
right.
two-month deals.
But my point is, I'm not saying that you sign a guy and say, let's get him on the next flight to Boston so they can have a press conference. No, I'm not suggesting that. But these conference calls don't really accomplish a lot because, first of all, you can't understand what's going on. Second of all, it's hard to ask questions in that setting because you really don't have a feel for what's going on.
Well, you got
to
get the guys. See, these guys are calling in from their cell phones.
Yeah.
You got to make sure that they call in from a landline.
Got to get them on a landline.
That's the problem.
As the great Ted Sarandis once told me, you got to get them on a landline.
I think that was the big problem today, especially, is that, as Paul said, we've seen players walk through the locker room doing these interviews where they're not really talking into their looking, talking to teammates kind of in between questions.
They'll have their computers open. They're playing PlayStation. They're, they're paying attention to anything but the call.
Right.
And I'm not blaming that on Stallworth. That's just nature.
Because Kelly Washington was tremendous yesterday.
I thought Kelly
Washington.
Could
hear him just fine.
Yeah, I had no problem.
If we're
going to
pit this
Washington
as a Stallworth versus Washington, I'm
round
giving
one
Washington the edge.
Well, I think you know, Stacey James needs to tell him, please call us on that landline or please be on a landline when I call you.
Yeah, that ain't happening.
Ready? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
All right. Well, we have a lot of emails, webradio@patriots.com. People are just pumped and jacked about this offseason so far.
They got them going undefeated.
It basically, well, you know. Let's
get jacked up.
Well, I'm surprised because last year they didn't think the Redskins were going to be good.
Yeah, and they weren't.
Well, it's always it doesn't matter what you do in March, but yet I'm hearing that this team is clearly the Super Bowl favorite.
Right now.
Don't we have to see them play?
My question was going to be, does this vault the Patriots over anyone else to make them the odds-on favorite at this point?
I think they were one of the three favorites
end
of the year, and I think they're one of the three favorites now.
I think the Patriots have done the most so far to help them, to help themselves. Yes.
Okay.
So if that vaults them to the top, I say yes.
And I say that because of Stallworth and Thomas. If they had just signed those two and not the other guys, those are the two guys I think that help them the most.
And the other guys I think are, like Tom said, they're the lower level, but role players that are gonna
I'm excited about Wes Welker.
I don't care about him, but that's
well,
not
you
the
will.
Point.
Why?
No, I won't.
Because he's gonna do a lot of things for this team.
Like what?
Catch balls and on special teams.
Okay, that's a lot. Anyway,
no one's ever done that before.
at a high level.
Fred found his new Dan Klecko.
Does he have a high motor, Fred? Does he play with a lot of intensity? Does he give it 110%?
He sure does.
Dan Klecko.
Yep. He sure does.
Did you pre-order a Wes Welker jersey?
I'm just happy to
I think
be
guys
here.
Like,
hope I can help the ball club.
Like Brady and Morris are gonna be serviceable role players that they needed to find. They needed to find all the holes they had on offense, with maybe the lone exception, maybe you might not necessarily be sold on Morris being good enough to be that second back.
Well,
but I think he's fine.
He's a backup caliber.
All the holes they had on offense, I think they've addressed. And on defense, we still have the draft. And I still think they have to find depth at linebacker and in the secondary. But, I'm confident they will. If you're asking just on paper, like Tom said, Washington, if we did this every year with Washington, they sign all these guys. They have a good team on paper every year in April and May, and it never comes to fruition. So we'll see what happens with six or seven free agents coming
in.
They
don't have Tom Brady.
We'll be excited when Stallworth scores 80-yard touchdowns, but Fred will be excited when Wes Welker grabs that 3-yard diving catch across the middle.
For
middle.
First down.
Nine points.
Yeah, not so much.
Because there's a lot of those 80-yard catches result in a punt.
Go ahead, laugh.
Well,
Fred, you just said something that was dumb. Can I laugh at you? Yes.
Stallworth
is the best signing.
He made a comment saying Stallworth is going to be catching 80-yard passes, but Fred's going to be excited about a 3-yard catch for Welker. You go for a first down. Well, geez, how many 80-yard catches don't result in first downs?
I'm just saying that you can minimize what you think Welker will mean to this team. I think he's going to mean a lot this year.
I think he's a good player, and he makes them better.
It's a nice little player.
Nice little player. He's well put.
Okay. He's going to be a major contributor to this offense and special teams this season.
Okay.
All right?
We'll see.
And when we see, then what are you going
to
say?
Can I just ask a definition of a major contributor on special teams? Was Kevin Faulk a major contributor on special teams last year?
You're not going to fall for the banana and the tailpipe?
No,
because he's never been better
averaged,
than Kevin
Faulk. He averaged almost 4 yards more per punt return than Wes Welker did.
I don't care.
So I'm just wondering.
Brett in the corner starting to swing.
Because I'm just wondering what exactly qualifies as a major contributor on special teams.
He will.
If he's a pedestrian returner, is that a major contributor?
No.
Because that's what he's been throughout his career.
He'll be
okay.
Better
he's going to get a lot better.
He'll be better on this team, and he's going to be among the top three receivers as far as receptions on this team.
Well, I would hope so. He's the number three receiver, and you're paying him $10
million. Why is he automatically number three?
Well, you're paying him $10 million. You better be.
Well, who is?
I mean, what if Stallworth, Kelly Washington, and Chad Jackson gets healthy?
Okay. So If Washington beats out Wes Welker, you're wrong, Fred. You're wrong. That's bottom line. He's not a major contributor if Kelly Washington comes in here and beats him out.
But he's going to do stuff on special teams that Kelly Washington
Kelly Washington's a gunner these days. He's willing to do anything you ask him to do on special teams.
Wes Welker can average 9 yards a punt return.
And 22 on kickoffs, which ranked 28th in the NFL, by the way.
You guys want to dismiss Wes Welker.
Why do you take that as dismissing him? Andy said, I think he's a nice little player.
I think he's going to be very good.
And I said,
team,
I think he'll help the team.
But I think they overpaid for him money-wise and trade-wise.
I think he'll help
that's irrelevant now. He's on the Patriots.
And Fred, you can't have it both ways.
I think you're going to be happy that you've got him.
Well, Fred, you can't say he's going to
be. You know what? He was worth it.
You can't say he's going to be a big contributor, then say Kelly Washington's going to beat him out. You can't have it both ways.
Well, I'm not penciling in anyone as 1, 2, or 3.
I think he'll help. I think he'll help the team. I just don't think he'll help the team to the level that you think he will.
I think if you look at it honestly, and this is my prediction, by the end of the year, you'll say, you know what? He was worth what they gave him, draft pick, and
he's going to do a lot to be worth that.
We'll see.
You know. That's my prediction.
And I don't want this painted out to be that the three of us
say,
are ripping this
it's
move.
Gonna, it's going to sound like we're against Wes Welker. We're just not. We don't have him in the Hall of Fame like Fred does.
There's a difference.
Now I have him in the Hall of Fame.
Well, you called him a major contributor.
I think he will be.
And you said he might get beat out by Kelly Washington.
And then I try to ask you who major contributors were last year.
Got 300K.
And if you don't think Kevin Faulk was a major contributor, then this guy's not going to be a major.
Specifically
on special teams. If you don't think that Kevin Faulk was, then this guy won't be.
I don't know if you know Fred. Kevin Faulk kind of does a lot for the offense, too.
Well, he didn't ask me that.
Was
though.
Lawrence Maroney a major contributor in special teams?
No.
No. He averaged 28 yards.
Would he tie for second? He didn't do it enough. He didn't do it enough. What are you talking about?
I don't know where this guy's coming from.
He did it
today.
For 12 weeks until he got hurt.
I think he missed
returning kickoffs?
Yes, he returned kickoffs until he got hurt late in the year.
He didn't have enough.
How old is he?
There's not enough data.
I think he's getting
there's
up.
Not
there.
Enough
see,
data.
This is the only thing I'm trying to get. I know how this is going to get painted.
Paul. Strictly I know. By numbers, but then when the numbers don't work, you can't go by numbers all the time.
I'm not doing strictly by numbers. I will go by my eyes, Fred. It's not that good.
Is there enough data?
That's exactly what I'm using.
Is there enough data on Lawrence Maroney right now to pencil him into the Hall of Fame?
You don't think Lawrence Maroney was a solid kick returner for them last year?
When he was out there?
The first 12 weeks he was out there.
He didn't return every kick in the first 12 weeks. There were other guys doing it.
I'm getting ready to walk off the show, to be honest with you.
Who were the other
second
guys?
Second straight week.
Can you guys help me? Until I'm asking a serious question. Until Maroney was hurt and then Hobbs took over, who else besides Maroney returned kicks last year?
Plenty of guys.
Who?
This is a legitimate question. I'm not even trying to be a smart.
No, I'm not either.
I'm not trying to be a smart
but
ass.
But we know
who
that
else?
He wasn't the it only was guy.
And I know sometimes
Pass
the ball
was
goes
there for two games.
It was
I'm not sure.
And Gary, you say he only played like a game.
I'm not sure he.
Gary's got it.
Kickoff returns 28 for Maroney. The next closest was 17 for Faulk.
Okay.
So I'm guessing that the 17 for Faulk and the 10 for Hobbs came after Maroney got hurt.
Faulk probably had some.
Hobbs
in
took
year,
over after Maroney got hurt. Faulk was earlier.
Okay, and he had 11 less.
Okay, but
you just said Faulk wasn't a major contributor on special teams.
I don't think his production was what it was. You know, that great. I mean, he was out there doing things.
Like Welker.
I mean, every team has a guy
Welker's production wasn't that great.
He does a lot more, I think.
Than right. Kevin Falk? You expect him to be better than Kevin Falk.
Falk averaged...
Next year?
Yes.
Yes.
Falk, and I misspoke.
And I mean better than Falk, what he's been to this team. His role will surpass what Kevin Falk has done. As a third down receiver, as a returner, as everything.
As a special teamer.
As a special teamer? Maybe.
I misspoke.
Maybe?
Falk didn't...
I'm combining everything. His role on the offense and special teams. Welker's going to be a major contributor to this team next year, this season.
Yeah, Falk didn't average as many more yards per punt return as I gave him credit for. It was only about a yard more. So I said 4 yards. I was exaggerating. I wanted to clarify that.
Plus, we've all been kind of making fun of Kevin Falk for years as a returner because
he's a nice little returner with no chance of breaking it. That's why I used Kevin Falk as an example, because I would agree with Fred on this regard. I don't think Kevin Falk was a major contributor on special teams last year. I don't. I think he's serviceable.
Trouble is, he was better than Welker.
I think one of
that's
look. I think one of the reasons why the Patriots were willing to give what they gave to Welker was because of his all-around ability and because
obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
No, but the other reason seems to be on some level that he had his best games against them, that they fell in love with him, what they were able to do against them.
That happens a lot. Teams get enamored because of what they see against them, and they know what they were trying to do and what he overcame. And, you know, so they figure,
don't forget about the kickoff returns. They're going to lose some Tully Bantacane, by the way. two of them.
One more than Chad Jackson.
So, I'm
Fred, I'm with you. I think Welker's going to be a good player for this team.
Yeah.
I think they're going to use him in a lot of ways.
I think he makes them better.
He's going to have to do a lot for me to say they didn't overpay to get him.
Okay. And my prediction is...
At some point, I'll turn to you up in the PFW loft in the press box and say, you know what, Fred, you were right.
Yes.
I think there's no shot in hell of that happening.
Well, because you just won't be honest.
Well, this guy's going to be averaging 35 a return
with six
touchdowns. I have no problems.
Devin Hester couldn't get me to make that admission.
You know better than that. I have no problems.
And I would think by now, over the years, you guys would understand.
Who was the guy?
Understand what?
Who was the guy
that you're wrong 99% of the time?
I'm usually right.
Who was the guy that was the laughing stock of the entire local media in Miami last year? When we go downstairs and I have to sit there in front of everybody and say, yes, it's true. I said Jason Taylor was overrated. I have no problems with making fun of myself. Believe me.
Right.
Believe me.
Especially when I help out.
If Wes Welker goes out there and catches 70 balls, you know, he returns a punt for a touchdown and, you know, averages 30 yards a kick return, I'll be the first guy to say, you know what? He was a major contributor.
By the way, that was really funny because we were sitting at breakfast and Paul goes, could you not bring up the fact that I said that he was overrated? And we weren't in the press box for 2 minutes and I hear Andy go, well, according to Paul, he's overrated.
You can always rely on Andy to cover your back there. All right. All right. Well, so all
good spirited start to the show.
You know, we can't even agree on how good this team will be and how good each player is.
Well, because there's no roles. We don't know. I mean, let's look at receiver.
We don't know yet.
Name to me who the starting receivers are. I don't know.
I don't know yet.
I think there's a chance Kelly Washington.
Stallworth is one. He's got
Stallworth.
If he can play.
Stallworth.
But remember,
he tears his hamstring in August.
Last year, we had the same question, and we were penciling in, hoping Chad Jackson would be number two.
I like this group that I'm penciling in a lot better than I like last year's
group. Hey, Fred, are you penciling in Adalis Thomas?
Absolutely.
Well, then I'm penciling in Stallworth for you.
Okay. Stallworth. I think we better. You know, we better pencil him as right now the incumbent, not the incumbent, but the on paper number one. Right?
Stallworth and Caldwell are your starting receivers.
No.
Caldwell's just off the radar.
Caldwell has to earn a job with Fred.
He's not going to be on this team.
Not on the team?
Come September.
That's my call, too. Yeah. I think he's going to get cut.
Yeah. I think he's going to. You can't keep them all, Andy.
But I don't have five that I want to keep over Caldwell.
Keep five. Let's, you know.
So name me your five.
Right now.
I think Gaffney makes it over Caldwell.
I
he can
do
play
too.
In the slot.
I think Gaffney's terrible.
All right. Well, give me five. That's two.
All right. So I'll take Washington, Stallworth, Welker, Gaffney, and Jackson.
Well, Jackson's not going to be
healthy.
He'll
probably be on PUP.
But they're not going to. He's going to be on
the team. He'll be on PUP, but he won't be on the roster.
If that's the case, then, you know, Caldwell definitely would make it.
Plus, that's only five. They usually keep six.
Don't forget about Bam
a lot
Childress.
Of times they do.
And
sometimes
Kelvin
they
Kite.
Do. They've shown a lot, you know, the fans, they love Bam Childress.
They might bring Kevon Henry back. I don't know.
First of all, it's Karan.
I was going to say, I don't think it was Kevon.
I couldn't think of the name.
The best part of that is not only that Fred's still in love with the guy, but he wrecked his name.
And we're also forgetting that there's a chance in the third or fourth round they take a receiver could make the team.
That's another.
I think if Caldwell's not on the team, it's they have nothing to do with anything on field.
It's other stuff.
I'll agree with that.
I agree with that. The other question, are we just all under the assumption Troy Brown is retired?
That's what I'm assuming.
Okay. Yeah, I am too. I'm assuming he already told the team that.
Right. I'd be willing to make that assumption. Hey, I might have nothing to do with that.
I would assume.
You know what, Troy? We'll help you make that decision.
I would assume that the team knows it and that at some point, maybe during the summer, it will be officially announced and they'll do something for him. Some type of official
retirement.
Well, it'd
be nice if they did it at some point before that so we could really do it up nice in PFW. The paper.
Yeah, I don't know. But
you should ask about that.
Yeah.
So we can
but
be
I'm
prepared
assuming there'll be some
such.
Some type of
if it happens
event
during,
for
if
him.
If it happens during the summer and we're like knee deep in training camp
right.
and what,
then he's going to get like a half a page somewhere. If it's in May, June, we can give him a full 2-page spread, really.
Put him on the
praise
cover.
Him. Right.
He's one a cover boy.
One of the reasons Brewski's not retiring this year is because Brown is and they want to do it separate. So next year, Brewski will have his thing.
Really? You think that?
I don't know. I'm just.
I think Brewski's retiring next year.
Yeah.
Well, I just the way you said that, I thought
like
maybe
you
had one of your little Fred theories.
Yeah, it is my Fred theory. That is a Fred theory.
But usually,
which is why I ignored it, like I did when Dexter Reed took 24 and Ty Law was coming back, or whatever that whole idiotic theory was.
That's true.
He could have come back. There were talks.
It's been a lot of talks. Randy Moss is coming too. Lots of talks about that.
There were talks.
You're beautiful.
Jerk the quarterback off.
Whoa.
Web radio at patriots.com. All right. Any other news you want to get to before we get to emails? Anything? Nothing?
Well, what has happened since last week? I get very confused in these week in between.
Ben Watson's over in
yep.
doing a USOC tour. Whatever it is.
USOC?
Yeah. USC?
No, not that either. But yeah, the Stallworth and
Washington
became
those
official.
Those signings became official.
Had we talked to Wes Welker yet before we did the show last week?
Yeah, I believe so.
We had. Okay.
So 6:30 tonight, LSU Pro Day, Andy, if you want to watch the NFL.
LaRon overrated Landry?
Yeah. You know, we watched the LaRon Landry tape.
Yeah.
And it showed him making a bunch of tackles.
Underwhelming.
That most safeties couldn't make. But Andy didn't like it because it wasn't a YouTube video of him killing people. So because he doesn't do that on every play, Andy thinks he's overrated.
I didn't say. I still believe he's a very good player. I said his tape was very underwhelming.
No, it wasn't. Paul, you know
very
what he would do?
Underwhelming.
They'd have a quick back standing in front of him who would try to make all these moves, and Landry would just stand there with his arms folded and say, nice try, and
then
just
grab
him
a shoelace.
Down. No,
the guy
grab him
to
by the jersey and rip him down and throw him to the ground. That's the kind of safety I want, someone who can tackle, not just Roy Williams who runs around, knocks your head off every now and then, and shows up on SportsCenter.
Or grabs you from behind.
Andy,
I like LaRon Landry.
Andy is wrong on this, and he.
First of all, I'm not saying he's not good.
It's not.
I'm saying his tape was greatly underwhelming.
He
had the most disappointing tape of a big player that I thought was going to be dominant.
Provided that Andy and I are able to be in attendance for the draft, you know, with our
impending petitions.
I think we have a very shaping up to be a very controversial first day with Andy and Tom, because I've noticed, and they've both been watching a lot of the DVDs so far, and I think that they've disagreed more often this year than they did last year on specific players, and Landry is obviously one example. But
it's because Andy's off his game. He's got that kid coming. Mine's not on the job.
Brought my A game, baby.
So I think it's going to be very interesting how, you know, last year it was all about Darnell Bing, remember? That was
right.
That was the only real major disagreement they had.
Right.
Well, this year I've heard about four or five of those.
Who are the
guys.
Others?
Which I was right.
Who are the others?
Just can't help but patting himself on the back.
Well, as Tom Curran, he's quite a braggart.
Well, we had a disagreement. I was just pointing
Speaking
out
of Tom
who was
Curran,
right.
I talked to him today. He's definitely wants to. He's very much looking forward to doing that column once a month, he thought.
Tremendous.
PFW.
Be a nice addition to the staff.
So we have to figure out how we
who's
make
out.
That
okay.
Needs a snack.
Oh, all right. Good. Web radio at patriots.com. Let's get to some emails, or unless anyone objects.
No, I think at this point we need to go to the emails.
Okay.
You know I don't.
I object
Spanish.
To starting the show next week for the third week in a row with a Wes Welker argument between you two.
Ravi from Indy says, out of these scenarios, which is the most ideal for the Patriots? One, trading both first-rounders up for LaRon Landry.
That's unlikely.
Two, trading up to the mid-teens for Patrick Willis.
That's likely.
Three, standing pat. Or four, trading out of the first round entirely with one or both picks.
What was it, ideal or likely? What was the question?
You said most ideal. Which is the best?
They draft at 24 and move down at 28. That's what I think will happen.
That's kind of what I want to do. I don't know if that's
the See, best I would thing go with I like
well, that's
kind of
like what they did.
So I'd say trade one
in
up
2003.
To get him.
Yeah.
They took one of the first round picks and they traded the other one, got an extra second rounder and ended up with Eugene Wilson.
Yeah, but they're asking, what do you think they'll do? If it was up to me, we trade both picks to move up to get Laurent Landry.
Well, that's ideal.
So
that's what he wants to know.
No, I'll take Willis.
I would go with Willis because I think Landry's up too far. He's going to go 7-8. That's too much to go up. Willis, if he gets to 14-15, now you're in striking.
Especially if I can trade 24 and a package to get there and keep 28. Maybe get a receiver, maybe get Michael Griffin, who I really like.
See, that's a guy that I've been talking about. You know, again, I base my evaluations on games.
He's going to be better than Landry.
I like Michael Griffin a lot.
I would watch out with these statements because you're going to be – I mean, this isn't Darnell Bing we're talking about. You're going to be looked to made the fool.
Or I'm going to be looked to made the genius.
That's not going to happen.
Ravi also says, different question. Why do teams trade up for a player and sometimes reach? For example, instead of trading up to number 15 for Patrick Willis, couldn't they see how far he drops – say to number 19, and then trade for the rights to Willis after he has already been drafted? Or is that harder?
That's harder.
That's
because
harder.
The team
Much
that
harder.
Drafted him wanted him.
Yeah.
So that's why he can't
Which
just wait.
You're looking at the teams after 15, and you're saying three of these teams could draft Patrick Willis. Right. We need to get up ahead of them.
That's when the Patriots and every other team start playing the game that we play. What does that team need? Mm-hmm. Who do they like? What's available? And who's going
to
take it?
It'd cost you a lot more to get a player that a team drafts.
Right.
Because presumably they're drafting him because they want
him. And last year was probably the best example of that ever between Baltimore and Cleveland.
Right.
Cleveland picked right ahead of Baltimore, and they were between Wembley and Nada. And Baltimore wanted Nada so bad, they moved up one spot just to get him because Cleveland had him as one of the two guys they were going to take. Wow. So.
Yeah, this isn't the NBA. That happens in the NBA where there's all kinds of trades of the rights
well,
to guys.
Yeah.
But
you know, the difference in the NBA is it's just a procedural thing. They don't allow you to make they make a trade before.
Right.
But they don't allow you to switch spots.
Plus, I think there's more.
So you have to pick the guy the other teams, like I think it was Rondo, the Celtics didn't actually draft,
right.
But the other team that they made the trade with,
Foy,
Portland,
right?
they drafted the player
Roy or Foy?
For them. Brandon Roy.
Roy. Who's Foy?
Randy Foy. From
oh,
Baltimore.
I get confused with those two.
Joe Foy was the third baseman for the New York Mets, 1972.
Played for the Red Sox as well.
Did he? Joe Foy?
I think he was on the 67
This old-time baseball hour brought to you by Steve Buckley.
Let's see.
I like stories.
Nick says, what the hell is going on? I was a little shocked at the spending, but now it's getting ridiculous. 3 months ago, we were talking about $15 million up front for Asante is way too much. And then around the end of the season, that number was getting more reasonable. Now, Captain Daniel Graham got $15 million up front, and Deion Grant is made the third highest paid safety. Mike Holmgren, or whoever is making decisions in Seattle, should be dragged into the street and flogged. First, they gave Burleson a ridiculous contract. Then, immediately after, they traded for Deion, and now they make Deion Grant the league's third highest paid safety. I think that is possibly the worst signing of the free agent period. Ken Hamlin is a much better safety, and they're letting him go to bring in Grant? I don't get it. I'm actually scared to see what Asante ends up getting. It is going to be in the range of $48 to $54 million over 6 years, with $17, $18 million up front, if we're lucky.
I agree. If you're lucky on those numbers. I think it's going to be huge money.
Over to prospects, he says, I've been looking at all the prospects, and there are all kinds of family connections out there. Scott Shanley's little brother is safety for Nebraska. Ty Warren's little brother is an inside linebacker out of Texas A&M. And then there's Steve Golden Boy Zach. The real question is not where will Zach go in the draft. It's how did Steve pump out a kid that went to Brown?
That is a good question.
Very good question.
I don't think...
Actually, Diassi's a pretty smart guy.
I don't think Graham got $15 million up front.
No,
he didn't get $15 million in guarantees. So that could be over probably like the first 3 years of the deal.
Right.
Like, Wes Welker didn't get $10 million up front.
Right.
He's basically guaranteed $10 million, you know, the way that the contract is structured.
Still a lot of money.
All right.
No, the point is still made, but I'm just, you know, don't necessarily look at whatever Asante Samuel's signing bonus is going to be and compare it to the $15 million that Graham, you know, that we're
talking
about.
Samuel might not get $20 million. In a true signing bonus.
Right, but that's why I wanted to, because I think if you look at that on the surface and you say, well, if Graham got $15 million up front, Samuel's going to get $25 million because he's that much more valuable. But Graham didn't really get $15 million up front. $15 million up front for Samuel is probably still about.
That's fair.
Yeah, and it wouldn't. I agree with Andy. He even probably wouldn't get into the signing bonus.
Right.
Let's see. Dermot writes in.
Sounds like a derunk.
Can it be true? Has Brady been using his Thomas again without ensuring that while he was positioned in the pocket, he had adequate time and protection to get the job done without repercussions?
He's been off lately.
As my old
in games and in bed.
As my old professor used to say, once is unfortunate, twice is just careless. I mean, we know his gear is working. He doesn't have to keep testing it.
Evidently, this one seems to be untrue, by the way.
Yeah.
This
fun to talk about,
that's what
though.
I heard.
The whole Giselle pregnancy seems to be
you got sources
going
with Giselle?
You have sources there?
I just talked to somebody who was a Brady source, and he said it was completely untrue.
Well, that doesn't necessarily hold water with me. But the way I look at it is the gossip
according
columns.
To him, Tom Brady has trouble getting women, too.
The gossip columns around here, particularly the Inside Track and the Herald, is pretty ruthless. And if they're kind of shooting it down, to me, that they're probably pretty sure that it's not
a little
true.
Dubious from the beginning. It was a Brazilian gossip something on a website.
I think what happened is some writer probably heard that, you know, got old news, Brady's girlfriend is pregnant, and then figured, oh, Giselle's his girlfriend, and went with it.
You know what? And then you put the language thing into it, you know, because it was a brilliant website. That's probably a pretty plausible scenario.
In the age of the internet and the Mike Florio types, who write,
Terry Bradshaw's dead?
Question mark.
By the way, tremendous cheap shot by my compatriot at Steve Stewie Gilligan Griffin Hart's expense at the end of last week's show and by Shannon the previous week. Mind you, Andy is still the only one on the show who can pronounce my name correctly. And despite his childish antics, lack of discernible broadcasting ability, or football knowledge, the show would be a duller prospect without him. Witness Paul's heroic but truly dismal attempts while the two lads were on the DOS at the Combine.
Excellent.
Fred, try pronouncing it like this, Dermot, with the emphasis on the der. I realize there are a full six letters, and it may be an ordeal, but I know you can do it.
Wow.
Hey, Freddie, you could just do this. You could call him douchebag.
Right, I like that one
on
better.
Douche.
Apparently the Irish hate Fred now.
Okay, so from now on when Dermot writes in, we'll call him douchebag.
Mr. Kraft, are you listening?
How about Fred
apparently
being on?
No.
How about Fred being on board with that?
I like it.
Now, what
well,
exactly
you can say,
is your
you
title?
Can say douchebag. It's all over TV.
Yeah.
That's where I got it from.
Is that right?
Yeah. That's you will see what you get from
You've
watching
never heard
TV.
It before?
By the way,
no, I'm saying that you could say it.
I had the talk with my son last week.
Oh, did you?
Oh, really?
Sex? Yeah, it went well. I prepared a PowerPoint. It was good.
Is there any way I could turn back the clock and get a seat there? Because I'd give you a substantial amount of money just to be there to hear it.
So how'd he take it?
Right. I like that.
Douche.
Very good.
It wasn't uncomfortable?
Did he snicker?
A little weird.
Did he snicker a lot?
No.
Really?
Not at all. No.
I got to tell you, I'm really dreading that.
Were you serious throughout?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I can take care of that problem.
He's going to be 12 this month.
So I got a good 10 years to worry about that? Yeah. That's good.
Like, why?
I don't worry about
why
enough
now?
Things, Tom.
Well, he's got
I'm not losing
now.
Enough hair.
Oh, a serious girlfriend.
Well, however serious sixth grade can be. But
these days it can be pretty serious.
I was going to say.
Yeah, you know what? That's a very good point.
Yeah. So that was kind of what rushed me.
And what did the talk entail?
Well, you know what it entails.
No, but I mean, did
Christ's
we talk about protection?
Well, we...
Isn't that the main part of the talk?
I would hope respect
we about
was high
that.
On the list.
Yeah, we talked about that, but, you know, with the emphasis that you shouldn't even be, you know, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
What was the leaping off point? How'd you start it?
His mother got... Oh, the leaping off point. No, we actually set up a time in advance that we were going to do it.
conference room B or A?
It wasn't like, hey, sit down, I want to talk to you about this. I wanted him in mentally to be prepared.
Fred Blackberried him. Is 4 o'clock good for you?
Yeah.
Did you have videos, props, anything?
No. I brought in a couple girls. You know,
I showed him.
Well, Fred, since you're giving out free advice, let me ask you. I had an ex-girlfriend contact me, right? And she's hot. And I was thinking, in lieu of a bachelor party, could I just do her one more time before I got married?
That's between you and your bride.
Now, is that wrong? Should I not have done that? I got to plead ignorance on that.
Really, you really should be more...
All right, we have fun. Web radio at Patriots.com.
Is that what Tom is having?
Ben from Boxborough says, I think that if the Patriots are going to trade up in the first round, they will not do so until after the draft has begun. Say they are targeting LaRon Landry. They will not trade up to number 11 tomorrow, plan on taking him, and then on draft day, watch Atlanta select him at number 10. Is this generally how most teams think?
Yes.
Or is it possible for the Pats to trade up one or both of their first-round picks before draft day, and not just if they are targeting a guy like Landry, but maybe Willis or someone else?
It's That's possible, risky. But there's, they never
there's no way they're trading up before draft day.
The only way you do that is if
you know for sure.
One or two.
Well, and if you knew for sure that, you know, there's a quarterback there, the team has to take a quarterback, one of those deals, you know. But that's,
yeah, like one or two or three, that area.
That's a risky proposition. I think the Patriots actually did make a deal before the draft with Miami, I want to say two drafts ago. But it wasn't to move up in the first round where you're targeting a specific player.
It was later in the draft.
Yeah, it was a second round.
And it was because
situation.
Miami needed it to sign somebody on restricted free agency, I believe.
Yeah, I think you're right.
There was a specific reason behind it. Otherwise,
I think young Andy is correct.
No, it would make no sense because too much can happen and you'd hurt yourself. Plus, you're short of showing your hand, right? I mean, if there's another team that thinks you're interested in a guy, now they kind of know where you are. Well, if we want him, we got to get
trade
another spot.
Trade up ahead of them.
Let me ask you guys another question. If, the whole trading up, into the top 10. So you're trading both picks to get into the top 10. If you could do that, does it cost more to get number 8 as opposed to 24 and 28?
No, it's exact. According to the value chart, it's
No. I'm talking about in salary.
Oh, I would assume so.
Yeah, I would say so.
I would assume
top 10 money, yeah.
No, I mean, obviously top 10 money is more than...
No, yeah, I know.
Is it more than combined?
Yeah. I would say yes.
Yeah, I would say so too, but I don't know that for sure. The thing I wonder is if everybody assumes that, Mayock told us Landry was right at the end of those elite players.
Yeah.
Well, does that value chart, does that get swayed in any given year? Because there's only
does.
8. Is 8 worth more than it would be in a year where there's 12 good players?
That's why I don't like the whole slotting system.
Well, that's a good point, though, and that's what I was going to bring up, is that because there's only a few players that a lot of people are really after, if you want to go up to get one of those, I think they're going to ask for the king's ransom.
I think so, too.
I love Landry. Andy will tell you that over and over again.
Wants to have his baby.
I don't think that they'll trade up for him for this reason. I love Landry, but there's plenty of other good safeties in this draft where you could just sit tight and grab one of them, like these guys like Griffin from Texas. He's a very good player. I don't think he's as good as Landry, but
I don't think he is either.
I don't think Ted Ginn's as good as Calvin Johnson, but everybody can't have Calvin Johnson.
Right.
So you sit where you are and take a good player.
But that's why I think the whole trade and draft and the whole process is interesting because, all right, so there's 8. The team at 8 says, well, you know what? There's only 8 good players in this draft, so if you want to get an elite player, you have to get here, so we want more. Well, if I come back, I say, well, Brady Quinn's not really elite. He's just a quarterback.
Yeah.
But he's now lumped into the top 8 players. And, there's so much
subjective
there.
Those 8 players, whatever they are, aren't necessarily the guys that are going to go 1 through 8.
Right. A lot of people now think Landry's going to be available at 10 in there somewhere, when other people believe he's one of the top 7 players in the draft.
I think he goes in that top 10 area for sure. But we should mention, Fred, that we don't have to get emails about this. Those two linebackers from Penn State absolutely suck. Posluszny and Shaw are terrible. And if you think they're good, you've never watched Penn State had a great college defense. They had a bunch of good college players. The only person I thought from there that would be any good was Ali, and I don't even think he's going to be great. Tamba Ali for the Chiefs. You watch those guys, listen, there's no way they're drafting one of those bums, especially that Posluszny in the first round. So get that right out of your head. He sucks.
Penn State, we don't usually draft a lot there anyway.
Because there's no talent there.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember some Penn State guys.
They're good college players.
I can only think of one Penn State guy the Patriots have had in the last, the Belichick era, and that was Sean Mayer, who was an undrafted guy.
Right.
Now they obviously just signed Kyle Brady, but,
Yeah.
Calling him a Penn State guy is a little bit of a misnomer.
Another
that was 27
another
years
Penn
ago.
Penn State
right,
bust
right.
that they drafted in the
draft. Now they got him at the right price.
Right, exactly.
let's see. Ben also says, is it a stretch to say that at best, Wes Welker could become the equivalent to Troy Brown in his prime? I know when he played against the Pats, I was always nervous when they kicked and punted to him. But I also have to say that he was extremely hyped up by every announcer on the planet. I am still excited for his acquisition, though.
Who was extremely hyped up, Welker or Brown?
Oh, this guy is.
Welker.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Welker was.
Because Troy Brown should have been hyped up for a period there. He caught 100 balls, and he single-handedly carried the team to a Super Bowl with punt returns.
And I'll say, if he's going to be Troy Brown, you got yourself one hell of a deal there. I mean, that trade is well worth it if you're getting Troy
Brown.
You
end up with Troy Brown. I just wonder if you're going to.
I don't think you're going to end up with Troy Brown.
Russell says, the question swirling and befuddling Patriot Nation this week, beside Wes Welker, is, will Tom Brady be starring in Sperminator 2?
Right. Can we give a rest to the all Brady right. Fatherhood?
Fred loves it.
he says, in my opinion, she's not even that hot.
Who?
Who?
Giselle.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, send us a picture of your girlfriend.
I don't think she's the hottest one of the Victoria's Secret girls.
But, geez. Well,
and I'm not sure Tom Brady's the best quarterback.
That's like saying, I don't think Torrey Holt's the best wide receiver in football. Jeez, she's not as good as Steve Smith.
That's fine. I mean, that's certainly a plausible answer.
But the words, I don't think she's that hot. No, you
well, he
say
said,
that.
I have to, I must say that he said, I don't think that she's hot in the true Southern California hot scale.
I bet if you saw her walking down the street in Southern California, you'd turn your head.
Unlike his previous girlfriend,
I was
going to
say,
if
you're talking about
she wasn't hot,
Bridget, I would tend to agree. But
yeah,
I never thought she was that good. She's not the hottest Victoria's Secret model. I can live with that. I mean, there's probably another one or two that are.
But can't he have anyone? Why not get the best one?
Oh. Well, in terms of pay and hotness, she is kind of the top. She makes like $30 million and is exceptionally hot. All those other ones are young faces that sort of change. Like Tyra Banks, Giselle, those are big names that have been lasting.
Right.
I think she's better than Tyra Banks.
That's tough. I mean, I'd give up $1 million to have her kick me in the nuts. I mean, that's how hot she is.
On to football. The stalwart signing is nice, and the way the contract has been described, it seems like it will be a one and done. I can't see them paying him $8 million before down one in 2008. Surely not with Warren and Wilfork's contract years approaching. I trust there's enough cap room left for Asante. Finally, I'd like your thoughts on the cornerback from Texas, Aaron Ross, and the possibility of signing Edgerton Hartwell. Thanks for the time. The show rocks and gets better all the time. Make sure Fred isn't cheap with the cash and locks you all up for long-term deals, although it would be tough, I'm sure, to get Big Show Perillo to sign. Ordway must be ready to take him under his wing or at the very least out for wings.
I hope so.
Yeah, Paul would be the tough sign. You just have to show me like $3,000 more, and I'm all over that contract.
You're that guy Whittle.
Yeah. $40,000 signing bonus, I'm in.
What do you think about Stallworth, though? Is there any chance that he is here?
Well, I was going to ask.
I think so. And also, can I just say one thing to kind of clarify what might be a bit of a misconception? The $8 million for cap purposes would only be two. Because that's not a true roster bonus. It's a roster bonus that can be spread out over the remainder of the contract, $2 million a year. So if they give him, if they decide to give him that $8
million. It's not a roster bonus. It's an option bonus, right, or something like that?
Well, whatever it is, they've worked it so it's an option bonus or a roster bonus, whatever. I think it is a roster bonus, actually.
I thought roster bonus can't be spread out. That's the.
But they whatever it is, they've worked it out so it can, so they could do that, according to the reports, I should say. I haven't seen the contract. But according to the reports on the deal, they can spread that out. So even though $8 million might sound like a lot to swallow at once, I know Andy likes the full
You've
eight.
Downgraded.
Andy likes the
used
full eight.
Used to be the full 12 for you, Paul.
they can spread it out a little bit. So it's at least on the cap. That's not going to affect Wilfork or Warren
Plus,
or any other big deal.
Plus, it doesn't sound like that much money to me.
It's not.
If he goes out and plays 16 games and catches 100 balls and proves to you he's an elite receiver, well, what would you think if this offseason they were looking at the best receiver and gave him $8 million. You'd say, wow, that's a
pretty
good deal.
And let me ask you, aren't all the other receivers up too? Like, say Gaffney and Caldwell make the team.
Yeah, but you don't save.
See you, bye.
No, but I'm just saying, you can't lose four receivers.
Because you're right back where you started.
Stallworth, Gaffney, and Caldwell, if they're all up after next year, you got to sign somebody.
Right.
And like Andy said, if Stallworth goes out and has a good year, he's the guy I want back. The other guys.
And I've heard a lot of people, and Andy and I already talked about this, that are saying he could be. Stallworth, I'm talking about, could be Jerry Rice, and they wouldn't re-sign him. I think that's crazy.
We mean Michael Felger.
If he comes out and let's say for argument's sake he catches 60, 70 balls, but he averages 18 yards a catch like he has for the majority of his career, maybe catches 8 touchdowns, big play guy, you know, proves to be durable, you know, he has the hamstring problem. Why would you not want to you know, give him whatever that is, $11 million it would have
Absolutely.
To be. That you have to, why would, that's a going rate for a receiver of that caliber.
And you have Wes Welker.
And I still say this. I got laughed at a little while ago. But I think that Dante Stallworth, if healthy, which is a big if, but if healthy, he is the best receiver that Tom Brady has had to throw to.
Talent. Who laughed at you?
Who laughed at you for that?
Tom Curran.
Well, he doesn't know anything about football.
You think Deion Branch was better?
Yeah.
But he's wrong.
I think in terms of pure talent now, I think Stallworth is the best receiver they've had.
He can be a true number one.
He's bigger and more physical than Deion Branch
is, and more of a big play guy.
Yeah, I think he's more of a big play threat. Even though I thought Branch was a good big play threat and underrated in that regard, I think this guy is a legitimate big play.
Yeah, I don't even think it's close because that's what Stallworth does. Right. He gives you big plays. I mean, I remember, I think it was his first or second year, he caught an out against the Bears and turned to the sideline and went up the sideline. Amazing. I mean, I know Deion Branch can't do that.
Well, Deion Branch, I think, at times looks to go down. He's expecting to get hit.
Right.
Where I think the mentality of a guy like Stallworth is he's looking to get in the end zone.
No, he's a bigger guy. He can get hit. And plus,
but I think it's instincts. There's a certain thing you got.
When you're so fast like that, it's hard to get a good, solid, square hit on a guy like that.
Well, that's what I said.
I like Stallworth a lot.
I told Felger that I'm really intrigued at looking at him because I think he's a receiver with Bethel Johnson's speed, whereas Bethel Johnson was just a guy with speed who tried to play receiver.
Right. Yeah. And that speed shows up on the field.
I was going to say, make no mistakes about it. This isn't Chad Jackson speed.
No.
This is flat-out burning
fast
speed.
We're all excited.
Something Wes Welker does not have.
Well, I know that Fred is just going to blow us off because we're not talking about his guy now. But
I'm not blowing you off.
He ran what a good defensive end runs.
I let you have your run there.
First game of the year, Stallworth will have 3 touchdown receptions for 155 yards, and Welker will catch a first down over the middle, and Fred will go, see? See?
Well, yeah, Stallworth will have 3 for $1.50 and 3 scores.
I'm not saying that
Welker
Dante
will have 6
Stallworth
for 17 and a few first downs. You see, he led the team in receptions
that
game.
This is typical. To say that Wes Welker is going to be good, you guys think I'm saying Dante Stallworth isn't.
We're just busting.
That's not what
we're just making fun of you.
Don't get so sensitive.
Down.
I know the emailers are making fun of you.
You're supposed
and you're
to be the
sensitive
comic relief of this show. You start getting sensitive, too. We got no place to go.
Well, I don't like
what
my
do
words
two?
Being
no one,
misinterpreted.
None of the 3 of us are sensitive. Otherwise, we'd have left a long time ago. You
okay.
all right over there?
Yeah. Let's see.
Así es la vida.
Women in underwear fighting. That always
exactly
gets my attention.
The universal language.
Was
that in Connor's thing?
Is that amor?
If you need to take care of stuff, go to the Spanish channel and they'll help you out.
PJ says the Pats are really getting lots of praise with their offseason moves, and I think it's well deserved. It does put an awful lot of pressure on a team when they go into the season with such high expectations. I'm hearing every analyst say that the Pats are the clear favorite to win the AFC, and that gets me a little nervous.
First, they hated it when they were disrespected. Now they hate it that everybody's respecting them too much.
Tony Kornheiser picked them to go undefeated, and he was serious.
Has he looked at the schedule? I know that's a funny thing to say, but look at the schedule.
I'm a big let's not look at the schedule guy, but that schedule is murder. That road schedule that the Patriots have, you take out the Bills, and it's an absolute – that's murderer's row right there.
If they go 12-4 – they went 12-4 this year, right? If they go
12-4
with that
season
schedule, it's so much more impressive this year than last year.
But don't get me wrong.
Fred didn't know how to take that.
Well,
he was caught off guard there.
I don't want to start an argument. That's
so much more impressive
than
it was last year.
I didn't want to start.
At
this point in the season.
Right
but
now,
a lot of teams that we have pegged being
good, you're
may
right
not
and
be
you're right. And you're absolutely right about that.
We're talking about the schedule as it
right
stands
now.
Right
but
now.
But I'm talking about even – I'm talking last year, even after the fact, was a weak schedule.
Absolutely.
Even after the fact.
Yep.
Last year sort of played out how we thought it was going to play out.
Yeah.
They were what they thought we were.
Right.
Jeez. Don't get me wrong. I love actually having the team with arguably the best talent to go along with the best coaching and quarterback. Here is my feelings on the Stallworth signing. Being an Eagles fan as well as a Pats fan, I didn't think that Stallworth would be good for the Birds, but he would be great for the Pats, and here's why. Dante's nickname in New Orleans was Street Clothes Stallworth because he was always injured. The Eagles and many other teams need players who will play 16 games and then get them to the playoffs. The Pats are a shoo-in to make the playoffs, and I don't care if Stallworth only plays 9 games as long as he's ready for the playoffs.
Fred, hang on 1 second.
Yes.
The Eagles have only missed the playoffs once in the last 5 years, and it was when McNabb was injured.
Six, I believe.
Six, was it six? So
they went to four straight NFC titles. Then they didn't go to the playoffs.
Oh, you're right.
Went to the playoffs.
Yeah, I think that's a terrible analogy because one team you could compare to the Patriots is the Eagles, in my opinion, over the last 5 or 6
Plus,
years.
I also think that they do things in a very similar fashion. They've let a lot of big name guys go over the years.
And still be
Trotter,
successful.
Bobby Taylor, Troy Vincent. They don't, you know, quote unquote, overpay, and they find a way to be in the thick of things win wise all the time.
Look, Andy, on TV, there's your guy, Bo Jackson.
That's usually my gig.
P.S. says...
and they put the logo right over his freaking face, so you can't see it. Oh, that's Barry Sanders.
P.S. says, P.J., what do you think of Brandon Jackson from Nebraska? I hear he's the third best back in a weak running back class.
Oh, you heard wrong.
Where do you see him going?
You heard wrong. First of all, Tony Hunt is the third best back. Andy, I know you haven't seen him yet, and you like Booker.
From what I've seen from Hunt.
Tony Hunt is a phenomenal running back, and I think a steal in this draft. And watch out if the Broncos get him. Lorenzo Booker, we all liked him, too.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. Booker is a third down back who maybe can be a backup at times. I don't think he's a different player.
I know you don't think he can
He's
be,
a different value. Right. I put him in a category where he could be the best at his position, and maybe he tops out as a second round pick because he's not a franchise back.
Right. I think you just put that well, too. I look at that as almost a whole different position, even though it's a running back.
The best fullback in the draft goes in the sixth round.
Right.
The best blocking tight end in the draft goes 21st overall to the Patriots.
Well, in my opinion, there's three running backs in this draft. It's Peterson by a mile, then Lynch and Hunt are the next two. Brandon Jackson is terrible.
I have another guy we can
round draft pick.
Disagree on. Colby Smith, Louisville.
You like him?
Like him.
I think he's garbage.
To the Broncos, I think he rushes for 1,500 yards as a rookie.
I like him with the Broncos, though.
Now he's on board with my assessment.
No, because anybody that goes to the Broncos, obviously,
because you know they were
Mike
running.
Bell was
and he's
productive.
And he's a one cut back,
big time. They were running that all day long, and he was very good at it. And I think if they can get him in the middle of the draft,
you're right.
Again, my Broncos on the rise, Fred.
I wrote that in there.
My Broncos,
they're my projection.
Your Broncos.
I don't like the Broncos.
I actually I wrote that, Andy, in that my thing. Average prospect, unless he goes to the Broncos, where he could
tremendous.
Flourish.
See, we're like this, Fred.
But Michael Bush, Bush, the other guy, to me, he seems like he doesn't know how big he is. He's a power back running like he's 185 pounds, so
well
I kind of downgraded him for that.
Underwhelming video.
And have you seen Brandon Jackson yet?
No.
Oh, he's garbage. He's a six-round pick. Forget about him.
He's along with Jay Moore, your guy.
Jay Moore is phenomenal.
Jay Moore?
Phenomenal.
Okay. High motor.
Yeah.
Intense.
Where was Frank
Fred
Gore
Kerr's
rated,
favorite.
You know,
second round.
Second round.
Yeah. Would have been a top 15 if it
injuries.
Top 10 or 15 if it wasn't for that knee.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a little bit of a trick because of the injury history with him.
Okay. Dana from the UK says, I'm extremely surprised, like many others, to see the Pats sign as many decent players that they have so far. Thomas was obviously a good signing, and I think Welker could easily turn into one of the league's best slot receivers. I'm writing this email on Tuesday, so I don't know whether the Star Wars signing is official or not by... It sounds like it's a done deal. I imagine this means that Caldwell and Starworth will be the one and two wideouts next year. Do you agree?
We don't know.
That would be my guess right now.
Yeah,
that's
right
what
now,
I would line up.
Right now, I would say yes.
And then in the slot, you have Washington. And then when injuries come up, you have Welker.
I was a little surprised to hear, in all seriousness, Washington talk about liking playing in the slot. Usually I think of slot guys as being smaller, guys that could kind of get lost in the wash.
Right.
Coming across the field. He's 6'3". You wouldn't think that he would be a guy that did a lot of stuff in the slot, but he says he likes it.
But sort of like lining up the tight ends in the slot that they do here, so they have another big-bodied receiver.
It's not like back in 2001 when we went five wide and had Mark Edwards out there.
Dana also says, I feel that we should sign or draft another linebacker because we are one injury away from a major problem at linebacker at the moment. I'm not too keen about training up for Patrick Willis, but I do agree with Tom about Landry. I do feel we need a safety that contributes this season from the draft. What do you guys think about Reggie Nelson? I personally love him. He reminds me a lot of Bob Sanders.
Yeah, Andy and I really like him. Paul's not quite as high on Reggie Nelson.
It's a strong word.
The one thing I would say about Willis, and I think Andy agrees with me, he is by far and away the best inside linebacker in this draft.
Yes.
By far and away. So if they could trade up a few spots to get him, you should be doing backflips.
And he's prototypical. Size, he can run. He's got the whole package.
All right, David, we'll do this email, and then we'll go to
Paul
a break.
Paul would like his package.
David says, is it a fair question? And this is a good question, I think. Is it a fair question to wonder, if the Pats would have been better off had they signed Givens and Branch than what they paid and gave up so far to get Welker and Stallworth. Do you include the production Givens and Branch would have given New England last year in the debate?
I think it's a good debate. Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's fair to kill them for it.
No.
But you could make an argument and say that those two guys were productive.
They were known quantities.
They were productive in your system.
And
given the money to guys that you know.
Right.
And might be better than.
And the fact is, though, that Branch and Givens, as much as Givens got last year and Branch, this year they'd get even more if they were free agents.
You're absolutely right, Fred. The market has changed dramatically. And I think that maybe part of the problem last year was maybe a little bit of a late recognition of that, where it was going. And I'm not killing anybody. Look, there's no need to go over the whole thing with Deion Branch, but that contract that Deion Branch signed with Seattle isn't so out of whack anymore. Everybody was up in arms when they saw the numbers that he got. That's just an average daily contract nowadays in the NFL.
All right, Gary, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. And hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Oh, now a shot! Unbelievable! 3-2, Taylor Twellman!
Wear what the pros wear, exclusively from the Revolution Pro Shop. Conveniently located at Gillette Stadium, it's the perfect place to get all of your official New England Revolution apparel. The Revolution Pro Shop features apparel made by Adidas, the official apparel provider of the MLS. Everything from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats and jackets. Give your jersey a kick by having the Pro Shop customize it with the name and number of your favorite player or the name and number of your choice. With a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open to the public from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Can't get to the stadium? The Revolution Online Pro Shop is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player or coach wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Breaks a tackle, drives it upfield, to the 10, to the 5, touchdown, Benjamin Watson!
From a first-round draft pick in 2004 to owning the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history, Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champs.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Now you can get an official mini replica helmet exclusively from the New England Patriots signed by Benjamin Watson free. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to your first 400 with qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
And I'll tell you, the other thing is, people down here are freaking out that Wes Welker's going over to the Dolphins. I mean, coming over to the Pats, because he was the only guy last year, or for the last couple of years anyway, that's had any impact on that team at all.
All right, back here in CFW in progress, Fred Kirsch, Andy Hart, Tom
Casale. That guy talking about the...
It's the Christopher Walken guy.
Was he saying that's the only guy who had an impact on the Dolphins?
Andy Hart!
I don't know, I wasn't...
Who frickin'
who? Is that what he meant, Gary?
It was Swig on EEI yesterday.
I don't listen to EEI because I'm not on it.
Swig was on EEI, really? He doesn't call our show anymore.
I thought Nick Saban acted
but
like
is he saying that Welker's the only guy who made a difference on the Dolphins?
I'll tell you the other thing is, people down here are freaking out that Wes Welker's going over to the Dolphins. I mean, coming over to the Pats. Because he was the only guy last year, or for the last couple of years anyway, that's had any impact on that team at all.
Guys, this is Swig, and you're listening to PFW in Progress.
Well, Swig, call in because you don't know what you're talking about, and I'd like to beat you down a little bit. Fred, who would you rather have, Wes Welker or Chris Chambers? The fact that you're thinking about this makes me want to hit you.
Well, I know Chris Chambers is a better receiver.
All right, that's what I'm saying.
He also said over the last couple of years, which was just not right, because Wes Welker had 1 year.
Yeah, and Marty Booker's been productive there. I mean,
Ronnie Brown was pretty good as a rookie.
And I don't know, this McMichael guy was pretty good.
Plus, he also didn't just say offense. So Jason Taylor.
Right. Well, that's the thing, you know. All right, let's see. Get back to...
Well, the good thing is that we lost the fat man and we're running lean.
Paul's gone.
Was he spewing it today.
Steve in North Carolina says, before I get to my questions, I need to settle up with Tom. You and I had a bet about whether Corey Dillon would get 1,000 yards. Well, he didn't get it. But he didn't get the carries to achieve that level.
That was part of the bet.
Although his yards per carry didn't drop appreciably from his overall career averages. I felt that Tom said Corey was over the hill and wouldn't get 1,000 yards. I stated that with Maroney on board, Corey would stretch his career. Anyway, the season's over. I lost. So what is the number of the Papagino's nearest you so I can order that turkey sandwich and fulfill my bet?
What's the number, Gary?
Sorry, Andy and Paul, but I ain't buying you guys lunch. You didn't go out on a limb like Tom did, so no free lunch.
I totally agree.
I went out on a limb.
You've never been on a limb in your life.
I was right with him with Maroney. You know, Tom, right from the beginning, we said Maroney's the guy.
Yep.
Paul didn't go on the limb because he thought it would break with his immense weight.
Yeah, so go to papagenos.com. It's the Foxborough Papagenos.
On Route 1.
Yes, I will take one turkey sub with oil and vinegar, lettuce, and pickles.
And a side order of buffalo wings. That's for Tom.
No cheese, no cheese, none of that crap. Turkey, lettuce, oil and vinegar, pickles.
And while
the average girl orders.
And while anyone else can go to that same website, get the phone number, and order us lunch. Anytime.
And then we will praise you as the greatest listener in the history of the show if you do send us
We'll
food.
Actually start putting people's pictures up, like listener of the week.
Can we put photos up, Fred?
Listen, anyone that sends us lunch will get a Patriots Football Weekly pen. We'll
and their photo.
A Patriots Football Weekly pen.
Can we put their photo up?
Anyone who sends us lunch.
Photo. Right. And you'll get your photo up. I'll make sure Chris Ferrero, webmaster, does it during the show. It'll put it right where it says, like, you can listen to live. It'll put your photo up. Fan of the week.
You've got to send us your photo.
He's been edgy lately, Chris.
Yeah, he'll do what we tell him to do.
Gary Golak, what's up, brother? That stuffle should be there by
Zoe was our favorite for
Papagino's
a week until somebody else was.
Directed it to you and your name.
And we also have to do something else. And I know, Fred, you're not big on sending listeners to other websites, but I think you can put that in your back pocket for a little bit. We need people to go to Fox Sports New England's website where they're having a media bracket basketball tournament thing.
And vote against Paul.
And vote against Paul. Vote for the CNN.
Don Banks.
Don Banks from CNNSI is Paul's opening round matchup, and we need Paul to lose.
Yes.
Wow. So go, log on, and vote for Don
Banks. While you're on
there, it's more fun if he's in it.
And while you're on there, you can vote for Tom Curran over Mike Felger, which I am sure to do.
And if they have a write-in area, put Tom and Andy.
We're the play-in game.
Well, yeah. Steve has a lot of other stuff. I'll get to, try to condense it down. One of the things he says is, Tom, no brown nosing here, but would you please start publishing your draft prospects analysis on the web? Those big-haired clowns at ESPN, CNNSI, and other sites really are out of touch, and you have been pretty accurate. Long live Ollie Hoyt.
Well, we're just finishing watching the tapes now,
right.
And I usually start next week is the week I start. To be honest with you, I'm not going to pull any punches here. I'm not going to do anything on Thursday and Friday but watch basketball in Paul's office. So starting Monday, that kind of stuff will be up on the web, getting ready for the draft.
Okay, and final comment, I think Belichick and Mr. Kraft are going for broke this year before Bill escapes to the New York Giants next year, and – next year's coach will be Urban Meyer. How do you like them apples?
No interest in Urban Meyer.
Well, if you're looking for the Patriots to fall flat on their faces, then that'd be a great hire, but I don't see any way that Urban Meyer's the coach.
Fred, that whole theory is getting out there, though. Getting a lot of run.
Yeah.
That he's filling up the holster, Fred, for one final run, big shebang.
I think Bill Belichick will coach, never ever coach any other NFL team besides the New England Patriots.
Thank you for your objective opinion.
You know something?
I think that this will be the last team that he coaches in the NFL.
But are you saying this is it? This is the last year, though?
No.
He's got that tone where he's talked to somebody. So you know what? I think Bill Belichick will never coach another team.
I think that there's not much else he wants to do other than coach football, and I don't think he'll ever coach another NFL team besides the Patriots.
Now, please tell me you have something there, because I'm going to go on real radio and spew this.
Me too.
I don't think we have to worry about
Bill. So he has a lifetime deal.
I don't think we have to worry about Bill Belichick this being his last year.
So Bill Belichick coaches here for as long as he feels like coaching.
As long as he feels like coaching.
Yeah, make sure you use that between 5 and 7.
Okay.
Yeah. He's got everything he wants here.
Brady.
It's not just – it's the support staff that he needs. He's got everything he wants here.
Now you're worrying me because it sounds like it's coming from you. I like it better when I feel like it's coming from somebody you talk to.
Let's see. Andy in Sioux City says, what a difference a year makes. We're signing players left and right, and I'm enjoying it. Last year was painful to watch all the players leave and virtually no moves made by the Pats at free agency. How do you see the receivers playing out now that the Pats have signed Starworth in Washington? Will this be a wide-open competition? Do you think anyone particular is probably on their way out? Well, we talked about it earlier. I think Caldwell might.
We haven't agreed. There's no consensus.
Yeah, there's no consensus.
And I think it's wide open after Stallworth. I mean, if Stallworth isn't starting, then we're going to be looking at each other like, what is going on?
But
here?
He's going to. He's been productive when he's played in the NFL.
He's a starter.
The only thing he's going to do is, I think, at times frustrate fans because he's going to have a big game and then follow that with kind of a stinker where he has one catch.
And if he tweaks his hamstring again, because that's that, like Andy and I were talking upstairs, sometimes it's almost better to tear your ACL because you get the surgery in your back. You get that chronic hamstring problem. You miss a game here, two games there. That can be frustrating for fans, too.
And then it's not just the games you miss. It's the game where you leave early, and then the next game you're not quite sure, and you come back a game early. All of a sudden, it's a month of football. It's affected by a pulled hamstring.
I call that the Chris Brown syndrome. One year, he played 15 to 16 games, but he left four of them.
Right.
So while it looked like he played a lot, he really didn't.
But, yeah, beyond that, that's going to be something that we'll have to keep an eye on starting in veteran minicamp and then right through training camp, wide receiver watch, how that battle's going to play out because – it's more exciting now. It wasn't as exciting when you were watching your guy, what was his name again?
Karan Henry.
And those types for who's going to make it. Now you have guys who are NFL receivers.
You make a good point. Fred, can you admit that that was embarrassing last year watching those garbage receivers fight for jobs?
I mean, we were literally talking about Childress and Kite and Henry and
these
guys.
I was predicting Kelvin Kite
there
to make the team
right
as a joke, and he did.
I mean, now it's legit. You have guys either were first-round picks, thought they were first-round picks in Kelly Washington or Wes Welker, who's at least been productive in the
and
NFL.
And at least have some talent.
Right.
Like, Kelly Washington hasn't put up a lot of numbers, but he has physical ability.
Yeah.
And if you can tap that and get him into a system that works for him, you might catch lightning in a bottle.
And it was kind of frustrating last year because we got Maroney. We saw what he could do. But the fact that teams weren't afraid of the wide receivers, I think, hurt the running game.
Not just hurt Maroney, big time.
But now, finally, possibly you've got both.
A lot of safeties made a lot of plays.
You saw a ton of run blitzes, and you can do that when you don't have to worry about Stallworth or Washington heading down the sidelines.
Right.
And the other thing, and I've talked about this before, last year when they went deep, it was almost, we got to go deep.
It was a gimmick play,
you know what I mean, just to try it. This year, if you do it with Stallworth, you go deep, there's a chance you're completing that for a touchdown. There's more of a – it's a real play in your offense rather than just, let's loosen them up.
The odds go up that it'll be caught.
Stallworth's the kind of receiver when you say, what? Andre Dyson's covering him.
Right.
Good night.
Right.
That's the kind of explosiveness he brings to the offense.
And now I'm all for the whole Tom Brady, whoever's open offense, because if you have talent at the two or three positions that are at receiver, whoever's open is a good player and can make plays. Not, well, whoever's open is opposite Deion Branch and it's Kelvin Kite or is opposite Rishe Caldwell, our one NFL receiver. Now the options are playmakers, guys who can do something.
And we're not even talking about Ben Watson and David Thomas.
Two other options
working the middle of the field.
Biggest surprise, David Thomas.
Very exciting. Andy's PS says, I may have to stop listening to you guys.
Why?
I had a dream last night that we were all sitting around the table discussing football, and the only specific thing I can remember about it is that I couldn't help but notice that Paul wasn't fat at all. I don't want these dreams to escalate.
But you're dreaming about us? You should get the number of a good psychiatrist because that is not healthy.
How about a good prostitute?
I mean, women don't even dream about me. So, and Paul? Ugh, scary.
I agree with him, though. Paul's not as fat as he should be.
But he's on a diet right now, right?
That'll
right
last
now.
A week.
He does it a week every February, yeah. March. It's yeah. It's like, you know how you said you were going to lose 30 and then ignored it? He actually does it
what
for
do
a week
ignored
before
it?
Ignoring it.
You haven't lost it. You haven't lost
you
nothing.
You don't think I've lost weight?
2 pounds at the most.
You haven't
it takes
tried.
Time.
It takes time. This was 6 months ago.
I'm not
ago.
Gandhi. I'm not going on a starvation
and you
diet.
Certainly haven't tried.
What do you mean I haven't
my mother
tried?
Went on,
you
know? My mother went on a diet and lost 4 pounds. She started a week and a half ago. Fred's been on his for 6 months and lost 2 pounds.
Because he's not on a diet. Every day at noon he goes, who's going and where you going? I'll have a roast beef cheese in the oven.
I'm doing
steak
a,
and cheese
a
in
sustainable
the oven.
Sustainable
small
of
cheese.
Oh, I see. Oh. Pound a month.
Right. There you go. Steve from Ontario says, I want to quickly open by thanking you guys for excellent off-season coverage. PFW goes above and beyond what any other team does, and fans like me appreciate it. Well,
well how much do you
appreciate?
We appreciate
you.
Enough to give your credit card number to Papa Gino's and send us some food?
On to free agency. Wow. Wow. I know Fred's rolling his eyes that another emailer is happy that the Pats have finally done something.
Wow.
But what a great off-season. A lot of people are speculating what this huge spending spree means. Is Belichick leaving and making a last run. But I
wow.
have my own theory. It starts with what did the Pats do last season? Nothing.
Wow.
Combine this with the loss of several players like Branch and Givens, and suddenly the Pats have some cap space. They generally spent to the cap, so when they didn't last year, they moved lots of money around to fill up that space. I don't think any of this is in dispute. Enter this year, suddenly they have lots of cap space.
Well, so, but they didn't plan it that way. That's the one thing I would argue you know, a little differently. They didn't. They thought they were going to have Deion Branch on a long-term deal. They thought they were going to sign Ty Law to a deal that would have eaten up some cap room. Now, they've adjusted, and I give them credit for that. They've looked at the market. But I think there was some good fortune, too, because what happens if Adalys Thomas is franchised by the Baltimore Ravens?
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, this free agent class isn't quite so good, and it's basically the Patriots
doing
the same thing.
You got a backup tight end, a backup right. running back, a slot receiver.
And you're taking a chance on a risky receiver who gets hurt mm-hmm. a lot, and, you know, it's the same kind of M.O. It's the old-school Patriots. Again, this offseason is bolstered by the fact that you got the best linebacker on the market. Everything else, you did a nice job filling in with other moves, but if they were the main attraction, you'd be disappointed.
I can't wait.
Thomas makes, you're right, it's Thomas Stallworth and everybody
right,
else
yeah.
kind of fits into the pieces.
Everybody does those grades after the free agency period, and if you sign Adalys Thomas and do nothing else, you're still going to be one of the top teams graded in free agency
right.
because you took your biggest need and filled it with the best available player.
Let's see. Matt is a transplanted New Englander now living in Oregon. He says, you guys do great work. I appreciate your no-nonsense attempts at being unbiased in your opinions. However,
uh-oh.
Attempting to put an end to the whole Patriots-type player discussion is crazy. Don't you guys realize who listens to your broadcast? We as Pats fans like to think that our team is so great, not only because of the talent we have here, but because of the type of guys we bring in. We like to think that there is a little more class and a lot less selfishness in our locker room than in those of other teams. It's about heart, fellas. That's why we idolize guys like Troy Brown, who will do anything and everything to help this team win.
I need more cumin.
That's why we were so heartbroken when Teddy Bruschi had his stroke. Maybe we're riding a high horse and hold ourselves in higher esteem than we should, but so be it. I believe one of the greatest moments of Patriots history was the beginning of the Super Bowl against the Rams when the guys came out as one unit. That kind of class was unheard of then, and it set the tone for this new era. We don't want to see that kind of spirit go away. That's why bringing in Randy Moss scares the hell out of a lot of us, a guy who doesn't have the heart to put forth maximum effort all the time is not a Patriots-type player. Keep up the great work, but be careful not to be too unbiased.
You mentioned two players. You mentioned Bruschi and Brown. Of course those are the guys you're going to point to when you're talking about Patriot-type players. But when you look at the locker room, they bring in guys to help them win. They
right.
brought in Sammy Morris, okay? He took steroids. I don't care if he said he took Sudafed. He didn't. So you can't make fun of Sean Merriman anymore because they did the same
Any
thing.
Any guy that takes steroids is trying to do as much as he can. Patriots player.
But my point is, Fred, is that
steroids are now okay in your book?
But they're okay in my book, and I've always stated it. So I'm not changing my opinion. I don't care that they sign Sammy Morris, but don't make it sound like all they do is sign choir boys, because that's not true.
Right. I've always said the biggest thing that bothers me is the hypocrisy. If you want to be a bad boy team, be a bad boy team. I don't care. If you want to be a good boy team, a true good boy team, and you remove guys from your draft board because they have red flags, I don't care about that either.
Right.
But don't tell me you do one and do the hypocrisy really bothers me. And I think at times fans have been a little hypocritical, and Fred Kirsch has been a little hypocritical at times with moves his team has made.
And you can't mention Troy Brown and Teddy Bruschi. Those are the two guys that you would point to as Patriot-type players.
I think, you know, when Pioli particularly talks about this stuff, Patriots-type players, he doesn't mention really character. He talks people who love football.
Right.
And hard workers, team players, smart, tough.
Right.
He doesn't mention choir boy.
What they look at is if you're in the substance
but
abuse
fans
program.
Sort of do.
Fans do.
Right. But if you're in the substance abuse program or if you took steroids, they look at that on every basis. Like they look at Sammy Morris, they look at this.
Right.
And if they feel that it's not a big deal, it's not going to happen again, blah, 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 they'll bring you in. Now, if they think you're just a dirtbag, they probably won't bring you in. But the point is that they look to upgrade every position with the best talent available, and they're not all going to be Teddy Bruschi and Troy Brown. That's the point that we're trying to make.
Nick writes in again, I don't think Mel is ever right, talking about Mel Kiper. I think
he's
terrible, an idiot
now.
80% of the time. But
if he's right, Patriots fans should be happy.
Yeah, well, that's what he's saying. But he has the draft working out perfectly for us. His latest projection has Willis and Nelson falling to us at 24 and 28. Now, I'm not stupid. I don't believe that either will be there, but you never know. Teams like the Bills fall in love with guys like that defensive tackle from North Carolina State last year, who they could have gotten at least a round later. So who knows? I think I would be I would shed a tear of joy if we actually somehow got both of these players.
I'll tell you what. If they get those guys at 24 and 28, I'll do something crazy. Fred, I defended Mel Kiper for years because I always thought people were too hard on him because he has the dream job that everybody wants. But the last couple of years, man, he's gone off the deep end on some of his and we all have different predictions. Right. But my point is that right there. You're telling me with the teams you talk to and what you know about Patrick Willis, you think he's going
to
be there?
And
no
to
way.
To do it with
no
two
way.
Players.
Two players.
You know what I mean? If he took one and he said, and he wrote, I really think this guy's going to slip because X, Y, Z. But he's got two guys that
two of the top defensive
much
players
are,
in the
right,
draft.
And our consensus top 20 picks, to have them both slide 10 spots or whatever. The one thing I'd say, I sort of don't really put a lot of stock in Mel Kiper's mock drafts. If a guy, Rich Goslin, if he ever came out with a draft like that, I'd put more stock. Because I think Mel Kiper is more, he evaluates the talent and sort of slots it the way he thinks. Goose does the opposite. He doesn't care about the talent. He talks to teams and sees who they like and how they're going to fall in line.
That's
so keep an eye out for Goose's mock.
That's the best mock. And plus, he'll tell you.
Well, it's not really a mock. That's the problem.
Well, yeah, but plus he'll tell you if a guy blocked a kick when he was 6 years old. So watch out for that, too.
But that's, I mean, it's not truly a mock. A mock is your own opinion. How
right. He's doing it from things that he heard.
Regurgitating what people tell him. So it's pretty close to accurate. A lot.
Eric from Manchester, New Hampshire. He wants to know if anyone can comment on this story that came out of the Combine about Calvin Johnson's borrowed shoes story.
Yeah,
he said the NFL Network, it seems, created the borrowed shoes Calvin Johnson story to bring some spark to the Combine, and Calvin Johnson is debunking the whole story publicly. Not a big deal, but also the reported 4.35 40 he ran. I received an email from an official NFL scout who said that the actual NFL scouts clocked him at 4.51. Yet the NFL clocked him at 4.35.
Well, first of all, there is no official 40 time ever. There's an electronic one. There's scouts ones for each individual team. There's guys there. And every team has their own theories about 40s. Some take the electronic. Some take their own scouts. I believe the electronic was 4.35.
That was the electronic time.
Everybody has their, you know, there's times that they take. They remove the slowest and the fastest and average the middle ones. Then there's others that take, you know, there's all different theories on how to get. So there's never an official. So anyone who claims that they have the official 40 time for anyone is lying. They're trying to sell you something.
Right. And the other thing I'll say is I heard him talk about the shoe story at the Combine, and he admitted that he borrowed them.
Right.
He did not have his track shoes. He was not going to run. He saw other people run, and he decided to run. So I saw him admit that on the NFL Network, too. He is the second fastest player in this draft behind Ted Ginn, who is a different world when it comes to speed. But Calvin Johnson flies.
Watch the highlights.
What does he take, 10-yard strides? Amazing. So there's no question in my mind that he's running in the high 4.3s, low 4.4s every time.
Because I choose not to run.
And I bet you I can find somebody who had Chad Jackson at 4.47 last year when he ran a 4.32. So
it's I mean, if you start it just,
and I just
a little bit later, you're going to get a faster
and
time.
And, Fred, I just hate this stuff. We were talking to someone yesterday about the bench pressing thing and all this. Like, someone clocked – they clocked Reggie Nelson, what, at 4'5 at the combine? Then in his pro day, he's 4'3. Listen, you just watch him on tape. Man, right. that guy covers a ton of ground. So whatever he runs the 40 in is irrelevant to me.
Quickness, the shuttle,
awareness,
the shuttle
instincts.
One is just as important.
But even all of those are stopwatches and there's different times. You know, I heard Ron Bohr just telling the story. I know that's not a name we're supposed to bring up, but
why not?
He finds it so funny, and I agree with him. Every time you see scouts at a pro day or a combine clocking a guy in any drill,
the first thing
they do is turn to each other. What'd you get? Because they don't really know what the – you know what? When you're talking about 4/100ths of a second being such a big deal, you know, does the guy run a 4.49 or a 4.53, and you're getting into other tenths of a second – They want to know what other people have. Maybe they were off.
Well,
you missed it.
Let me ask you this question. When they start from the 40, do they start at a gun?
No. They start on the player's movement.
Oh, the player's movement.
As soon
as
the player moves, they start their stopwatch.
So I was going to say, if it's a gun, then automatically a stopwatch is a hundredth of a second behind that.
Right. And that's why, but if you have a scout, if your guy is Joe Schmo and he always does your 40 times, at least you always have the same guy doing it on the same cues.
And, right.
You know, you're comparing apples to apples somewhat. But if you compare two teams, then you're not, because you don't know. Maybe one guy is always slow.
Right.
Yeah. I just think it's a bunch of garbage. Mike Kudla from Ohio State, 52 reps last year. Where's he? Not even in the league. Who cares? You can either play or you can't.
Bo writes in, and
Jackson?
I guess I didn't get this until after Paul left, I guess. But he says, I've considered writing this email several times, but I've refrained because I didn't want to come off as rude. However, problem has become so consistent that I struggle to listen to your webcast. Paul, you are the best writer on PFW.
Hey.
In fact, you may be the best football writer in the region.
Oh, geez.
But your radio personality has become so grating that I can't listen to the whole PFW webcast anymore. I try, but usually shut it off after 10 minutes. It isn't because of the content of your opinions, but your way of expressing them. Your constant, aggressive attacks on the good-natured Fred come off as nasty and bitter and do not paint you in a good light. Please lighten up just a little.
Who is that, Bo?
Bo.
From where?
I don't know, but I don't care. He's not my favorite email.
Well, you know what? Bo knows. That's accurate. Paul, very grating.
And I agree. I think Paul's an exceptional writer, but on the radio, Andy and I, we blow him right away.
No question. And the first 10 minutes, that's the answer to the first question. That's when they turn it off.
So maybe we should just repackage that and send it into the big show today?
We should forward it.
We'll change my name to Pete Shepard's
name.
Gary, can you send that forward that to the producers, have them read that on the air?
Let's see. Salt in Orlando. I keep reading this Wes Welker is going to be the white Troy Brown. Before I go on to my rant, I want to say that I have yet to see Welker in a Pats uniform catching balls from Brady. Yes, like most people, I think that maybe the Pats overspent a second-round pick to get him.
I just don't get it.
Right, but half of Belichick's second-round picks turn out to be good. So I really am not in love with him, but oppositely, I do not hate him either. That's probably a better word there. I will make up my mind during the season. On to my rant. If I hear that Wes Welker is going to be the white Troy Brown again, I'm going to go 8-blank. This, do you like? I caught myself there.
Yeah.
Usually,
well done. Well done. I'm proud of you.
I was rolling on it too.
At this point, I don't think Wes Welker is fit to hold Troy Brown's jock. Troy Brown was drafted in the 9th round, which doesn't exist anymore, and has played for 15 years.
Bingo!
He's been on 4 Super Bowl teams and won 3 titles. So what if they both can play the slot and return punts? Unless Wes can play on defense or strip the ball of a defender's hands in the fourth quarter of a playoff game, I don't want him to ruin the legend that is Troy Brown.
Well, people are just talking basically about
here comes Fred.
roles on offense.
What does color
teams
of skin have to do with it?
I don't understand.
And why is it okay to say the white? Could we say the black Tom Brady? Like, is that okay?
My guess is no.
My guess is no too.
White receiver.
Unless you watch South Park, where they get away with
but
everything.
Then they took the show off. Now I can't see it.
Quincy Morgan, the white receiver.
I want to do some research on that and see if that really got pulled. It was a good episode. It was entertaining.
Dan Lawless writes in, well, the high holy day is only 45 sunrises away. I think he means draft day, probably. I read in a published story that the Pats have $4 million in cap space available. I have a few questions regarding this. One, is the free agent signing boom over? Sorry, Ed Hartwell. Two.
Well, I don't know that Hartwell would be a big money
I mean, he'd be Kelly Washington.
Yeah.
He might get a couple hundred grand as a signing bonus, but it would be a 1 year, prove yourself, stay healthy kind of
deal. They could get him no problem if they wanted to.
And just to clarify one thing about the $4 million, that's basically the calculation, and I haven't seen the numbers, that's reported as the calculation including rookies. That so the rookie pool is set aside. So
right.
They probably have like $14 million, but they need X number of dollars to sign two first-round picks
right.
and all that. The $4 million would be what they'd head into the season with as emergency fund kind of right. money.
Two, does this mean that veteran free agents such as Troy Brown and Junior Seau will not be re-signed because there's not enough cap space left? No,
they could sign him. Plus, yeah. if they sign him, they would essentially sign him to a one-year deal in all likelihood. That would qualify for that, I forgot what they call it, veteran pool, where
right.
the team is only on the hook for like $480,000 in cap space.
Three, with less available cap space, will this prevent the Pats from moving up in round one because
no.
of a required higher signing bonus?
I don't believe so. That's what we talked about earlier, the comparison between having two late first-round picks as one, you know, maybe top 10 or 10-12 pick there. I don't believe so, although their rookie pool will be calculated on their draft picks. So there would be a little bit of a hurdle there on some level, I think.
Okay.
Plus, the compensatory picks aren't out yet. And we know,
that's true.
Did we talk about that? That they
Patriots
are projecting
should get 4 or 5?
A 7, 2 sixes, and something else.
Really?
That's what Scott Pioli projected. They're going to get 4 picks, 2 of them a 6, a 7th, and something for
so
David
Gibbons.
You're
looking at around 10 draft picks.
In all likelihood, 10 picks until they start trading, because then it could go in either direction.
Ethan from Delaware, good afternoon, gentlemen, and I use that term loosely. Well, we might as well stop discussing
Willis.
Kind
of like Willis a shot to me.
Stop discussing Willis, Landry, or Beeson. I just heard Greg Olson on NFL radio, and the first interview he had after his pro day workout was from Pioli and Belichick.
Means
and
nothing.
Apparently they were left very impressed. Might as well pencil him in at 24. On a more serious note.
Well, just so you know, Pete Prisco did a mock draft and put Olson as the Patriots pick.
Yeah, but I'm just saying them talking to him means nothing because he probably talked to 20 other
right.
teams,
no question.
Too. And
he's going to talk to anybody who shows up for the pro day. On you know, if they make their attempt to be there and see you, you're going to talk to him.
Yeah, do you know how many guys Belichick and Pioli are going to work out?
Everyone.
Hundreds. So you can't really go by that.
And a lot of them are just to have other people think that they are interested in the guy when they're not. So...
John Beeson.
On a more serious note, are we seeing a similar approach to the wide receiver position to when they brought in Terrell Davis and Dwight? It seems to me that most of the wide receivers are signed to deals that are essentially one-year deals, and the Patriots are hoping someone steps up and wins the long-term deal.
Well, there's a lot more talent in this
yeah.
group.
Yeah.
Let's not.
Well, that's yeah, the thing. Does he,
Dante Stallworth is not David Terrell. He's done things in this league. He's been a productive receiver when healthy. David Terrell stunk.
And let me, I don't know how the reaction was here, but I didn't think he was going to be a good pro to begin with because I didn't really like him in college. But then when he came to the pros and stunk, when he came here, I'm sure the fans probably thought they got some kind of steal.
Well,
he was absolute garbage.
They didn't even really think they had a steal. They went with the Brady thing. We hope that his
right.
former teammate, he's Brady, maybe he can get something out of him. Now, Kelly Washington, I think, is closer to David Terrell in terms of talent, hasn't done a ton. Although I actually think for his opportunities, Washington has been more productive than Terrell
yeah,
was.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, he scored some touchdowns.
And Stallworth
isn't
even in the same, I mean, they're not even in the same world.
Right. Stallworth is productive but injury prone.
Mm-hmm.
They're hoping that he can be, you know, maximize his talent.
He plays 14 games, they win. That's what they're looking for.
He plays 14 games, he's going to have big numbers. Right, Fred? Bigger than Wes Welker.
Absolutely.
Speaking of big things.
Yeah, Craig from Boxborough. Hey, A-Team and Fred. Love the draft prospect
that
reviews.
Never gets old.
Since the Patriots have signed so many wide receivers, it will probably be a real interesting camp. I figure that a team will carry about 6 or 7 receivers at a time, so this means that some of these receivers won't make the team. I think that Stallworth, Welker, and Caldwell are locks to make the roster, while guys like Gaffney and Washington will have to earn a spot on the roster. Jackson will probably won't see any time at all till next year, even in the latter half of the season. Then there are the throwaway guys like Kite and Childress, who, in my opinion, stand no chance of filling a roster spot. Finally, I come to Troy Brown. If he doesn't retire, he will be back next year. I see his relationship with the team as I see the relationship between Tim Wakefield and the Red Sox. If he wants a roster spot, it's virtually his. and who knows what they will do in the draft. With all that in mind, who out of these eight guys makes the team and who doesn't?
We've already been talking. I mean, Childress and Kite have no chance whatsoever.
Unless all these guys get hurt or something ridiculous. But in a fair competition, we can't assume injury, I don't think.
But if we let's assume that the three guys they sign make it. Let's just assume that, okay? And then Chad Jackson probably makes it, too. So
well, I think he's probably PUP, so I don't think
right.
he'll count
but,
for a while.
But I think the good battle is going to be between Caldwell and Gaffney.
You really think that's a battle?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay,
just a
we'll
bit.
See how that plays
just
out.
Just because Gaffney can do more things in the slot, and I don't know. I'm not saying Caldwell's going to get cut. I think right now I would pretty much pencil him in on the team. But if you were asking me for a surprise veteran cut, if you asked me that question, I would say Rashay Caldwell as a surprise.
That'll be interesting. I got to tell you, I haven't been totally impressed with how he's reacted to pressure since I've seen him here for a year. First in training camp, avoiding the media. I didn't want to talk to the media. Then he gets his first touchdown chance, and he drops it in Atlanta. Then you got the playoff drops. Not sure he's a guy that rises to the occasion of competition. And if he's put in a position where it's two guys for one roster spot, it'll be interesting to see how he reacts
exactly.
to that.
Okay. Bob.
What do you think, Fred?
I'm going to the next email because it's Bob from Shenzhen, China.
Ivana de la Hora
Pico. And
I'm
leaving for China on Sunday.
You are? How long are you going to be gone for?
I'm just going till Wednesday.
So we'll see you Thursday. You don't even go to China for a week?
Yeah, how's that work? Doesn't it take you like a day to get there and a day to get back? So
pretty much. I'm just there for really a one-day meeting, and then I'm coming back.
You ought to try to do that over the phone.
What happened to the conference calls you've been doing? I mean, it sounds like that's a prime
Well,
candidate.
I just want to show up.
But you want to show up who the real Fred Kirsch is?
I'll have to go again soon, so.
So you're going to China.
Yeah, and I wonder if there's any good Italian restaurants that Bob could tell me about in Beijing.
So you're going to Beijing?
Yeah.
Are you going to tour anything see the stadium?
Won't have time.
So what's this meeting about?
I just got a meeting with somebody.
Internet, new media, one of those kinds of dork meetings.
But I'll be leaving Sunday.
All right.
Are you going to do a story from over there? Kirsch Chronicles 1?
No.
The beginning?
Not yet. Let's see. Bob
have you even
said,
looked into that yet? Media, the government, us?
Don't worry about it. Jeez.
They're hardly even communists.
Again. I read Parade magazine. Isn't that a respected publication that comes in the Sunday Globe? And they ranked China's leader as the fourth worst dictator on the planet.
I'd keep that on a down low.
And you're telling me, don't worry about it.
Well, the Casale Casinos has it at 12 to 1 that I get a call saying Andy Hart is in a Chinese prison within 3 days of
Seriously.
His arrival.
Plus, they now have an 18% greater army because they've invested in the defense budget this year.
I mean, Fred, they're boobs. I mean, you never seen them before?
Well.
This guy's drooling over here. I've never seen anything like it.
Bob says, how's this for a trade? To go up in the draft, trade with Houston at number 8 for our 24, 28, and our 165th pick from Arizona. Total value, 1425.4. The 8th pick is worth 1400.
Wow.
Wow, he just blew it up.
Yeah, no chance for that one. I don't think so. I don't think Houston wants to trade out of that spot.
Why would they?
Okay.
That's it. I mean,
there's a chance that Peterson could be available if he slips by the Browns.
But and that's why we said all these things, you know, maybe he's not, maybe they do have three guys in mind and all three go
right.
before them, then maybe they are willing to trade.
I mean, if they get Peterson at 8, call the cops. That's, I mean, I'm on
Call
green.
The Browns and ask them what they're doing.
I'm on green starting days lasted about 2 months.
All right, Craig, hello, A-Team, including Fred. I was just wondering
was
if
nice.
The Patriots have any interest in pursuing the disgruntled Lance Briggs. He would make the Pats the elite defense in the NFL. You guys mentioned last week that the Pats may move around in the draft since there is a poor draft class. Would they consider a trade in which they sent a first to the Bears for Briggs or in a fourth or fifth round pick? He would bring experience and youth. They could sign him to a long-term deal and structure it so it is feasible under the cap. It seems a little out there, but hey, 3 weeks ago the Patriots were signing all these players was a little out there as well.
I think it's a little
it's just,
out there.
The salary-wise.
Yeah, I mean, you've used a lot of cap money. He doesn't want to play here in a 3-4. He's already sort of been on the record saying that. And let's not forget, I know it's all happy times here, you know, Patriots Football Weekly, Patriots.com. You have your own guy under a franchise tag who you need to worry about,
yeah.
Asante Samuel. So Unless, I mean, I guess you could swap
now,
the franchise.
And let me ask you, Andy, any chance, because it's been floating around a little bit, that some of these veterans might not be too happy about
the
money?
Well, it's funny you say that.
I'm
Fred?
Just, Fred, it's just a question. I'm just, Fred's giving me a dirty
look.
Well,
Tom is referring to a blog that Mike Reese had.
It's a blog. I mean, how serious do we take it?
I guess
Mike
he,
Reese.
He talked with Mike Vrabel. How does he get to talk to all these
no,
players?
No, 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 no. Mike Vrabel is in town for an event with Bank of America, a charitable event.
Okay.
He's been making the rounds. This morning he was on the Maddie in the Morning show, all those morning shows in Boston. It was actually very funny. After he left, it was very funny. I didn't actually hear him, but that's why Reese went to this, to get quotes on other stuff.
Well, he says that, this is Vrabel asking about the free agent moves. He said, quote, "I would say it's certainly interesting that for so long, guys took below market deals to be with the Patriots.
Because I.e. me.
That was the way they had to do it. And then they made a turn to go out in free agency," Vrabel said. If it makes the team better, that's great. I'm not trying to speak for everybody, but I think it was a little shocking. But I'm glad that it happened.
Interesting and shocking.
But I'm glad that it
Fred,
happened.
I'm not saying that they're saying on the record.
I will say interesting and shocking.
You're missing my point. I'm talking about in the locker room. Is there any chance that these guys, knowing that some of their own players are coming up, you got Samuel here, Branch, a guy that they loved, wasn't re-signed. Do you think at all that they get a little, God, you know, we're the backbone of these championship teams, and now they're bringing in these guys for...
That's where they need to be sat down and explain either the structure of the deals that look really great and the different environment that we're under right now with the cap space and everything else.
Well, Adalys Thomas's deal is structured so that he's going to make a lot of money.
Okay, well, Adalys Thomas is pretty good.
So is
and
Mike
Richard
Vrabel.
Seymour's making a lot of money,
you
too,
think
though.
Vrabel's as good as Thomas?
Last year, no. Prior to that, yeah. And I think his best years have been as good or better than what Adalys Thomas
Vrabel's
has done.
When Vrabel's deal was ready to be done, remember, they extended him before it was over.
I know.
Was he as good as Thomas is now?
Let me be clear.
I mean,
I blame.
You think that's fair.
Listen, I blame Mike Vrabel because he
Copen.
Signed.
They signed.
No one forces you to. No one holds a gun to your head and says you have to sign this extension. But that said, they're gonna. You can't tell a guy to not feel something. If he feels slighted or underpaid
that's natural.
Right.
You can
so
tell
that's
Brady.
Why you don't make a big deal about that.
Yeah, we don't make a big deal about guys going public with some irritations.
He said he's glad about it. That's what he said.
I'm just, Fred, I just
If you
want to
focus
question.
On two words, I'll focus on two different words.
I just posed the question. That's all I did.
Let's see. Mike the Pickle Gherkin says he has some draft questions that need to be answered.
Well, let's go.
One, I know that LeRon Landry is the cat's pajamas when it comes to the safeties. But is his talent so much better than Nelson, Merriweather, or Griffin that you would trade up for him rather than stay put and take one of the three that will fall to 24 or 28?
He's the clear-cut best safety, but I wouldn't trade that far up to get him. I think he'll be an instant pro bowler. I'm afraid Landry. Nelson is the next in line, but I don't know if he'll be there at 24. Then you got a group of guys there. I don't think Merriweather is in the other three's class. Do you?
No.
I think there's the other three. I think strong second round pick, Brandon Merriweather. You take him in the first round, you're reaching.
Well, the top
opinion.
Three are safeties with great cover ability. Mm-hmm. I don't think Merriweather necessarily has that.
Two, if linebacker is indeed still a need and Willis is not available, would you have a problem with taking someone like Spencer, Siler, Harris, or Beeson at 28, since the Patriots do not have a second-round pick, and all of them would be gone by the time they picked again in the third?
See, the Harris one is the one that I'm intrigued by because I consider him a true second-round pick. I think he'd be a good fit, but now you don't have a second-round pick. I wouldn't take him 28. I wouldn't take him in the first round, but he's a guy I would consider
up, though,
trading.
Too. Well, that's the thing.
I don't think he's a first-round pick in my mind. I like
him
for the
you.
System. I'd love to have him, and I would take him if I could do a Chad Jackson. I might consider trading up to 36, 38, somewhere in there to get him, but not at 20. It's one of those value questions.
Yeah, and if they take one at 28, it's John Beeson.
Three, do you?
If he's still there. He's
yeah,
on the rise.
He's on the rise, too.
Do you feel there is a need to draft a running back, and if so, are there any guys that you feel fit the system well? If running back is a need, would the need for a replacement for Dylan or someone to be a future replacement for Falk?
Well, I think you need both at some point,
yeah,
whether it's this year or next.
But the problem is the guys that we kind of like are like second-round draft picks.
Right.
So are the Patriots going to take a running back that high? So that would eliminate like guys like Hunt and Booker. Then you get in the later rounds, then you can talk about Andy's guy like a Colby Smith who's versatile, can do a lot of different things.
But what are you
getting?
He's so he might be out of the league in two. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So this is a tough draft. Quarterbacks and running backs, don't you agree? It's
very weak.
Yes.
And that's how you end up getting other teams that truly need them reaching for them.
Yes.
And it kind of throws the whole balance out of whack.
Four, can you give a quick rundown of the inside and outside linebackers you guys feel fit the Patriots system?
Willis. Harris.
Seiler.
Beeson. Seiler, although I think he's a lesser player. I like Harris a lot. I think he's a little more of a... Ted Johnson,
fastest linebacker I saw on tape so far was
yeah,
Harris by far.
He's got that mean streak that
hits with a. I liked him and Willis when they hit you. They really, it's like the Rodney Harrison
right.
kind of hit.
You kind
they
of expect to see the bloody on the top of the nose and they're physical.
I know you haven't gotten this far yet. The only outside linebacker prospect that I saw that I would remotely think about is Spencer. He's shown that he can do some things on tape a little bit. To me, Jarvis Moss, pure pass rusher.
Jarvis Moss,
I wouldn't touch in the first round if you gave him to me free.
No.
So the guy from Notre Dame can't play. So Spencer would be the one, but I don't think they're going to go there in the first round.
I don't either, and I'll be honest, I don't love Spencer. Some of the workouts I saw,
I don't love him. I'm just saying that he's probably the best fit if you're talking 3-4, but I'd rather wait and try to get a Jay Moore.
Yeah.
Andy's favorite player in round four.
By the time you get to round four, whether it's running back, now you're just Cedric Cobbs. It's a guy that has some talent, and if he fits our system and does everything, maybe. But if you miss, you didn't really miss that much.
There's one guy that we did kind of like that we're not sure if he fits the system, but Lawrence Timmons
from
Florida State. He's interesting because he played outside in the 4-3, but he was primarily a pass rusher.
Right.
And seems like he could make that transition to the 3-4. So that's a guy to keep an eye on.
I'd rather see him than Spencer.
Yeah.
I like him.
Five, who do you like at the cornerback position outside of the first round?
The who?
Cornerback position outside of the first round.
That guy from Baylor, C.J. Wilson, is a guy we both liked.
Yeah, we liked him.
Safety, corner guy, made a ton of plays at Baylor. He's in the middle round area. David Irons from Auburn was pretty good.
Plus he's funny.
I liked there's the two Florida guys. There's Reggie Lewis and then there's the Smith, the guy I don't like, Ryan Smith and Reggie Lewis.
Yeah, I didn't really like those guys.
But I liked Lewis better because I think he's a 6th-round guy who looked to me like he had more athletic ability. I don't want to take Smith in the 3rd round if you're looking at like Florida guys that possible fits here. And I like the guy Coe from Alabama State, the small school guy that from the Senior Bowl. He's a guy like the 4th round. We didn't really get any tape on him, so it was hard to break him down. But he's a name that was floating around there too.
Okay.
But we should say, and Andy, this is one of the other things I think we might disagree on. In my opinion, Chris Houston from Arkansas is by far and away the best corner in this draft. I think he has all the athletic tools. I would put him 1 and Leon Hall 2 from Michigan probably right now. And Revis from Pitt. Have you seen him yet? I really liked him, too. So those are my top 3 right there.
My questions about Houston are, I wasn't in love with the tape as you were, because I actually heard you when you were watching it just gushing over it. And the second thing is, he's a man-to-man guy. And in college, when you've just lined up and shown your athleticism, well, there's going to be a growing period because you're not just going to be told to line up with a guy at the next level. I'm not sure how quickly he'd get acclimated to playing a lot more zone coverage and a lot of the different schemes that Belichick would throw at him. So that would be the fit question. Can he go from being pure man to man?
I like his physical skills because he's not – I know some people might think he's a workout warrior from the combine, but he's strong.
Right.
He was pressing guys at the line. He was throwing them off.
But you can do that more in that whole man-to-man scheme where he's – he just knows that's my guy, stick with
him. And that's the stuff that we don't get – we won't know.
Right.
We don't know if he fits the scheme.
And
Bill
how smart
and
he is.
Know that.
I mean, it doesn't take a genius to play man-to-man.
Right.
You see a man, you cover the man. But I would be concerned as a potential first-round pick because you're looking for him to – if you draft him in the first round, you're looking for him to immediately come in and contribute,
Now, is he going to play in the slot? Has he ever done that before?
But I think wouldn't some of that have to do with the Samuel thing, how you felt about that negotiation?
Yeah, no question.
And if you're talking about smarts, the guy from Cal, Hughes, great instincts. Yep. Understands the game. Problem is speed. 4.8 40 Deion Sanders said on the NFL Network, you can tell he's scared. He doesn't trust his speed. But that's a guy, if you're looking at smart-wise, maybe they like him and they don't care about his lack of speed because he breaks on the ball well and he understands the game. So going back to counter what you said about Houston, if it was fit-wise, maybe a guy like that.
Right.
All right. Phil writes in, Fred, it seems that you are the only one there who can manipulate a laptop without putting down your pom-poms. It's nice to listen to someone who's positive. Thank you. I like the Wes Welker trade. A lot of Patriots
fans.
We've
been saying a ton of bad stuff about the Patriots.
A lot of Patriots fans overestimate the team's draft success in the second round. Looking at the second round picks in the Belichick era, Wes Welker.
Now who's negative?
Wes Welker is better than most of them, like Chad Jackson, Marquise Hill, Bethel Johnson, Adrian Clem. He's
Deion
not better
Branch,
than
Eugene Wilson.
He's not better
it's
than
like
Deion
almost
Branch,
50-50.
Matt Light, and Eugene Wilson. P.S. They don't give out trophies to the team with the most cap space at the end of the season. So there.
So is that the tune you were singing last
Wes
year?
Wes Welker has had one decent NFL season. It wasn't even great. It was decent.
No, he's a playmaker. That's all I read. Playmaker.
So if you're going by numbers, which this guy is because he's telling us the draft picks and everything, one decent NFL season, average punt returner, far below average kickoff returner by the numbers, and an average receiver.
Basically saying is he doesn't trust them to draft in the second round, so he'd rather take Wes Welker.
And I think that's crazy. I'll take the Patriots drafting any day of the week.
Let's see. DJ Granite writes in, I know the team has picked up Sammy Morris, but he seems to fill just about the same role as Kevin Faulk. I'm wondering, after last year when Dillon got the goal line carries over Maroney, can Maroney fill the role of power back like Dillon, or do we still need someone for that role?
Well, Fred, this is how I think of it. I remember watching Priest Holmes his first year in Kansas City, and they kept giving the ball to Tony Richardson at the one. And I used to scream to my friends, are you telling me Priest Holmes can't score from the one? To me, that's the most overrated freaking thing in the NFL. If Lawrence Maroney can't get 1 yard and get in the end zone, he shouldn't be the starting running back, in my opinion. I say you give him those carries, and he has 15 touchdowns.
He's going to get the carries. The one concern we have about Lawrence Maroney in general is that he dances at times, and he can't do that on the goal line.
Right.
That's the concern in the midfield. That's the one thing we've seen that could hold him back from taking that next step to being consistently good.
It's after he got injured.
And I also don't think we saw it near the goal line as much. I think we saw it at times. But when he got the ball like inside the 15 and 10, he ran with power.
So we'll see. It was a concern. I know his college coach talked a little bit about it.
Yeah.
So it's been something that he's dealt with over the years that people question if he dances in the backfield.
And it is an interesting question because Marion Barber, goal line carries.
Right.
Russell didn't get all of them, but got some goal line carry. So he's never been the primary goal line running back. I just think, hey, if you want to be a star in this league, if you want to be Lawrence Maroney, you gain 10 pounds this offseason, you don't lose speed, you come back here ready to roll, you get 1,400 yards.
But I just think that whole goal line bruiser back is one of the more overrated positions in the game.
I agree with you.
You're
telling me if they gave that ball to Barry Sanders more, he would have had more touchdowns?
Right.
Craziness.
Let's see. Tom, says Clinton, how can you compare the Skins to the Pats? Every year they just sign anybody and everybody. The Patriots, for the most part, sign only guys that fit their system. They didn't go out and sign Cato June. They signed Adalis Thomas because he fits their system. Washington just signs guys with no regard to the system. They also don't build through the draft at all, and that is their biggest downside.
See how these listen? They don't listen? See how they don't listen? See that? I wasn't comparing them to the Redskins. I was comparing that you can't say they're going to win the Super Bowl in March, like Redskins fans do every year when they go out and sign things. I wouldn't put the Redskins remotely. I don't know if they're in the Cowboys class when it comes to organizations, much less the Patriots. That's not even a discussion. All I said to the fans is that there's still going to be a couple of good teams in the AFC you're going to have to fight through. You can't just hand over the Super Bowl trophy in March, like Fred said.
Matt from Leominster, I don't know if you saw this, but the Washington assigning or – something about the Washington signing being a calculated move by Bill Belichick. Don't you find it funny? They looked at Washington right after Stallworth's visit. If this was the case, I love Bill Belichick. P.S., can we stop comparing Branches and Stallworth's numbers? The guy was catching his passes from Aaron Brooks for most of his career.
He's pretty talented.
Well, who compared We think Stallworth's better.
Physically, yes. Now he's going to prove it.
Yeah, but who compared Branch's numbers and said Branch was better?
It was in a story.
Oh, yeah. No,
somebody wrote it.
In my opinion.
Was it Burt Breer?
I don't know.
In my opinion, if you give me those two guys and you say they're healthy, they're going to play 16 games, I like Deion Branch. I think he's a good receiver. But the explosiveness that Stallworth brings, that's not even close, in my opinion.
One could argue you have your possession receiver now in Wes Welker.
One could argue you could have had both. You could have signed Deion Branch last year and then signed Dante Stallworth
negativity.
This year. But I like where the email is going in terms of he signed Kelly Washington just to light a fire under Dante Stallworth's ass. That's an interesting theory.
Yeah.
You know, they only gave him $300,000.
Although it takes that for you to love Bill Belichick, and he's got 3 Super Bowl trophies.
No, but I like the deviousness, the nature of that. That I don't think it's true, but.
Russ from Canton, Mass., is there any news on Ed Hartwell? He would seem to be a good fit if the money was right. Also, I enjoy listening to Tom and Andy on Mike Felger's show. You guys should really approach 890 ESPN Boston about getting your own show.
Funny how that works out.
We did. They gave it to Kevin Winter.
They gave him a show.
Well,
no.
The draft show.
They did what you do. Somebody, you know, has an idea, and why are they going to pay somebody else when they can just have the guy on staff do more?
And then they call. Now Kevin Winter calls us and has us talk for 20 minutes during his show.
And they ruin our Tuesday night by we have to sit by the phone. So
maybe they will give you a show. Aren't they looking for more local content?
Budget. They're looking for more budget first.
But they can't, I guess they can't become an all-football station.
Well, but Fred, apparently ESPN is about to go bankrupt or something because I keep hearing about their money problems. I mean,
I heard ESPN's investing more in
They
them.
Should. This is Boston.
Right.
You need to, but not just football, Fred. They need more local shows, though. They have too much national stuff.
Right.
Boston fans may be arguably the most localized fans in the world.
Parochial.
They care about the Red Sox, the Patriots, and to some degree the Celtics and the Bruins on a lesser scale.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
That's why. Email ESPN Radio Boston.
Yeah, you guys should email. Get us on there.
More Tom
there
and Andy.
Because you know what? I got bad news for you. When Ron Borges comes back, Tom and Andy go bye-bye. So if you'd rather hear us than Ron Borges, email the station. I got no problems doing that.
Tom and Andy over Borges and Tomasi.
Tom, who's one of our listeners, wants to know if we think Junior Seau will be back next year.
That's interesting.
I don't know what I think about that.
I don't really have an opinion either. I haven't given it much thought. He played better than we thought, but now he's another year older, and we want to get younger. Well, I'm going no. I'm sticking with we need to get younger at the middle linebacker.
I'll tell you after
linebacker.
The draft. If they don't pick somebody in the first day of the draft, then I think they sign
I think
Junior
a lot
Seau.
Has to do what they think maybe with Eric Alexander, too. Can he be that guy who can come in and play a little bit, or is he just a
I think
a
Eric Alexander is a poor man's Rex Grossman right now. I'm not sure he can get past that, how distraught he was after that.
We'll have to see that. That's true.
I think his psyche could be.
So there's 3 people
damaged.
We have to watch this year: Grossman, Tony Romo, and Eric Alexander.
finally.
Well, you'll be watching Romo. Some of us don't care.
Let's see. Jeff says, great show. Love the free agent signings, but how do you feel about the kicker? A big issue last year. How did Gostkowski do last year?
Fine.
Now that we are heading into a new season, are we comfortable with him? How did he compare to Vinatieri in his first
year?
Well,
I think he answered his own question. We haven't talked about the kicker once all offseason. So
and he was better than Vinatieri in his first year.
Yeah.
Vinatieri was not good initially and was down to the point where he was about a miss away from being cut. There was no time when Steven Gostkowski was going to be cut last year. I thought he was tremendous, got better as the year went on.
Although I did think it was very interesting, Belichick's comments in some article I think he did with the Globe, that one of the regrets he's had over the last few years was getting rid of
Robbie Gould.
So that was interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
That was actually the most interesting part of a 2,000-word feature over 2 pages.
That's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We'll be back next Wednesday at noon. See you then.